Push the button.
Click, click! Headshot! Click, click! Headshot!
What the f*** is going on down there?
Hello, it's WTF at TFW time here on episode 160. It's August 11th, 2011, and I am Vangelis, your host and editor and man with the Human Alliance drag strip. I'll talk about it later. With me today is Aaron.
Who doesn't have a Human Alliance drag strip?
Aw. Or good. We'll find out later. Okay. Also here today is Omega's Prime!
I also have no drag strip of the Human Alliance variety.
What about the other one?
The other one. Yes, I do have the other one.
Excellent. I was hoping that you would be that prepared for my questions. Which one? We are here to talk to you today about Transformers, and we're going to open up with a very interesting topic. One that's, in fact, at the top of our topic list, because it's the first item in our topic list. I write our topic list in a special thread in a secret forum, a thread that I always keep open when we're about to do a podcast. I would certainly never be blatantly stalling for time while I open up the thread and scroll down to where the topic list actually is in order to tell you that the Transformers Universe beta is coming very soon. Transformers Universe being Jagex's upcoming MMO game, which has had all kinds of teaser trailers which show robots transforming and then staring at the camera in the dark. So I don't think that's actually gameplay footage, but the beta will be launching soon. I'm sure that with TFW being a somewhat popular Transformers site, we'll hear something about the beta once it begins, if it's even a closed beta. Perhaps it's just an open beta. But they're launching this thing in 2012, so I'm sure that they do need to get onto that part of development, very soon. Aaron, Omegas, do you guys have any interest in participating in the massively multiplayer online game Transformers Universe?
I'm contemplating it.
Oh!
I have a little bit of MMO experience, and I'll give it at least a little bit of a swing. I mean, what's the worst that'll happen? Somebody will get a hold of my credit card number and go crazy with it? Wait a second.
That already happened once.
Yeah.
Oh, Sony. Omegas, what about you? Are you interested in Transformers Universe?
I am vaguely curious in it. Transformers is a concept that does seem to work in the MMO style, though I have never been a big fan of MMOs.
You mean you don't like endless carrots and microtransactions?
Not really.
Get out of my genre.
Hey, man, those carrots are good, man. That's what they tell me.
Well, you know, this is a bit of a tangent, but I mean, the general approach to MMOs seems to be going towards somewhat open free trials with microtransaction possibilities beyond that mimic the subscriptions of old. But I realized also when we looked at Jagex before, they don't necessarily do MMOs in the style of World of Warcraft so much as in the style of their own browser-based games. So I'm really looking forward to beta coverage so that we can see how the game works. That's really all I want to know right now, is what the engine is like and what the gameplay is like.
Yeah. I'm more curious to see what kind of level of customization you're going to have in this.
Well, you can't make Optimus Prime pink and put him in a tutu. There are certain characters you can't mess around with, and they'll always be the way that they are.
Well, there goes my subscription.
I, in fact, just directly quoted a line from the interview from one Chris Jones, the game's executive producer, who also said that the game takes a lot of nods from the recent cartoon series visually and thematically, referring to Transformers Prime. He actually said, literally, we're in that universe, but given the way that that term is used nowadays, that doesn't necessarily mean that continuity. I think that we've learned that in the universe doesn't mean in the continuity after the clarification on what Exodus actually is.
Actually, there was something previously that was saying that it sits within the Prime timeline.
What?
Yeah, that's actually linked from Wikipedia back to our own 2005.
That's okay, because that's crazy recursive. Because at first it'd be going like Wikipedia, and then it's linking back to us. So it's like, where did we get it from?
Oh, my God. This is from reading the news story here. Sent us an update wanting to recap and share information about Project Reveal at BotCon 2011.
Oh.
So one of the things, it sits within the Prime timeline. Oh, this does say along with the book Exodus, yes. The War for Cybertron, okay. And the Prime cartoon.
So timeline's another one of those words that is now meaning something different than what you might expect.
Say universe. Universe at least can be like, eh. Although it's Transformers Universe as the game name. So.
Yeah.
Open mouth, insert foot.
When I saw this headline on Twitter, for some reason I'd forgotten that's the name of this game, and I thought like, ooh, beta testing of new toys for a new universe toy line? And then I saw the news article, and I was like, oh. Well, I mean, it's still
you
cool.
You get to beta test the toys? How's the... Like, yeah. I guess we've already kind of done that once, haven't we?
You make sure they don't break by buying them from China before, you know, kids can get a hold of them and get hurt.
Yeah.
We're heroes.
Yep.
Big damn heroes.
Shiny.
Hey, Omega, have you seen Firefly yet?
Let's not go off the subject here.
All right.
Jesus.
Transformers Universe.
Just trying to stay professional, I swear.
Coming very
soon. Do you have
soon.
Netflix?
You can't put Optimus Prime in a tutu.
Do you have Netflix? No. We're on a different topic. Do you have Netflix?
We don't need to open up another thread of people rallying to the side of the unenlightened. All it's going to do is depress us, Aaron.
He still hasn't answered the question.
I know I haven't answered the question.
Well, that question will have to be answered later on during our intermission, because we're going to go into new pick picks. And the new pick picks cannot be the picture on the front page of Do You Have Netflix? I'm really sorry to say. Though I do support that line of questioning, because Netflix is a very inexpensive service, and Firefly has also been available on DVD for about $20 for a couple of years. That aside, new picture picks. Aaron, what's your picture?
I was going to go for the new Perfect Effect product incoming.
You mean the one that's unnamed?
Yes, we have a wireframe drawing of a motorcycle with a not reflector dude riding upon it.
Ooh.
Had you not seen that image?
No, I had seen it. I was trying to sound really excited for the sake of the audience, because I'd seen it already.
You're pandering is what you're doing.
I'd like to more so think I'm dramatizing.
Okay.
Kayfabe.
It's a junkion, potentially motorcycle-looking dude. And the thing that would be interesting to me is if it actually comes with one of those not reflector guys to be a rider.
That would be really weird.
Well, yeah, but if it's a Decepticon motorcycle or a non-aligned type of guy, I think it would be interesting to have some sort of carryover there. Or if it can even do the
writing of itself?
The writing of itself.
I suspect
and have that shown somewhere explicitly. The problem is he looks bigger.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look... This isn't a little, like, crotch rocket bike that's pretty small from the wireframe of one over the... from the not-reflector guy riding on top of him. It's a beefier bike. It would be more akin to a road bike.
Mm-hmm.
So the prospects of one riding the other, I think you'd start to maybe look like a little bit of like a clown motorcycle, clown bicycle thing.
Yeah, I'm curious what the intent is with this. I don't really think that if they do that, that'd be neat. But I just don't really think they'd pack in one of the reflector guys, especially just it would be so out of the blue.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, that he's a good little poseable. That's the only reason why I think it'd be neat, because he's a good little poseable dude. You throw in the knife and a gun or something, and you don't necessarily have to have him, you know, even mention it's Transformers, just that it's a little super poseable dude, because they don't really transform into anything other than a cube.
I think the question is how connected all the toolings are. Like, if the tooling is just for one of them, or if it's for
that's very true as well.
Yeah, because I mean, if they are all kind of the same skeleton, so if it is just a case where they tool the one guy over and over again with different, like, one different chest plate, that could be it. But if the tooling is designed to have three copies in it, then you just make
one of those for every three motorcycles you make.
Chase figures.
Yeah, and really screw with people.
That's what third parties need right now is more chase figures, because they aren't expensive enough on the aftermarket.
No, I really think it's neat. More and more, I'm loving what Perfect Effect is doing.
I am really digging their commitment to their smaller aesthetic myself.
Yeah, it's. I mean, at first I thought it was, well, what the heck, but through Ninja, Shadow Demolition, the Sun, the Moon.
Yeah.
I'm getting sold.
It's one of those things where it's kind of like you look at their aesthetic and even when you like it, like I always say, like I wholly understand if someone doesn't like their stuff because it's too small, but I entirely respect how dedicated they are to having the stuff that is small.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good balance for size versus price.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you were to do these in, like, deluxe size, you're going to end up with, you know, what is the Causality guys come out at, like, 50, 60 bucks a pop?
And whatever Perfect Effect doesn't really run the risk of directly competing with anything, because their stuff is always on a completely unique scale.
Right.
So it's like, even when TF Club is doing their own version of Reflector, it's not really a competing product because it's so wildly different due to the size.
Yeah. Plus, like I said, with it being, granted, the Reflector set's a little bit bigger, but, you know, when you look at some of the others, and like I said, 20, 30 bucks, that, if it ends up being bad, it's not as much of a gut shot as when you're above 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Or even up until, like, the X-Graver, because those guys are getting up into the 100 by the time it's all shipped, each.
Close to it, if not at that point, yes.
So if one of those is subpar, that's a oof. That's a lot of first product or first party product, and not, you know, if you look at toys that way of budget wise. That,
although it's worth mentioning that the Knot Reflector was technically that kind of money risk, because it was you know, at the end of the day, it cost that much,
right? But it also was a lot more than just
a dude.
One dude, it was three dudes that did something that was all self-contained. You know, I feel envious and also sorry of the people that are going for the whole Hercules set.
And I say that cough to say hello to Gerotimus, our longtime listener and friend of the podcast.
Hey, buddy.
Omegas, what about you? What do you think of the bike?
Oh, the bike is neat. I'm definitely wondering just, you know, how it's going to work, how it's going to be sold, and, you know, with the usual stuff that I'm wondering if this is one of those that's going to come, you know, just incredibly accessory loaded, considering it's already looking to be quite a bit bigger than their normal offering.
That's true, yeah. It could come with a load of stuff. I mean, you know, the Night Ops, or I always automatically call them the Night Ops now, but the Knot Reflector guys, SFX team, were hardcore accessory loaded. So I wouldn't be surprised if it has some stuff, but we also have no idea what it is, what it's intended to be, or anything about it. So we're limited to what we can see in the wireframes until we get some more images.
You can see what seems to be quite a bit. It looks like he's got the standard kind of prowl legs of wheels, and I see along the back what might maybe be arms or something.
But, well, here's the thing. What if it doesn't even turn into a robot? What if it turns from, like, a motorcycle into a swing set or something like that?
Well, like it's some kind of deployer?
Yeah. What if it's another The Sun and the Night, you know?
Yeah. It very well could be something else. I just don't. I'd all speculation when talking about Tron-esque wireframes, so.
Well, until we get some more info, I'll just say that I trust Perfect Effect to make very unique things, and usually that ends up jiving with my taste, so darn it, I'm probably going to end up buying it. Aside, Omegas, what is your new picture choosing?
I think I'm going to stick with the tiny third-party offerings and go with the Just a Toys Astro Train.
Oh dear, we have new pictures of that?
Yeah, nice gallery came up just a couple days ago. Actually, yesterday.
I missed it. I'll go looking for it.
Shame on you.
Talk about them. I'll look for them.
I've always been big on Astro Train as the triple changer that just seemed to work the best of all three of them in all three modes. And it's considering this is supposed to be WST size, or I don't know, maybe possibly the Dinobot WST size.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well represented of the original toy, and by that I do mean the original toy. The arms are extended as they were originally meant to, which Ooh. I find hilarious considering the original toy couldn't engineer it, and this tiny thing has.
I love it when Just a Toys does that. They've done that with a lot of their releases, right? I remember they've done like these tiny fixes to the old G1 designs, like the. I want to say that their Grimlock had something new, and I forgot what it was. Was it the head sliding?
The head sliding.
Yeah, yeah. And Blaster or Shockwave had something as well. I don't own any of them yet, so I don't know it by heart, but I remember someone in a review saying that one of those two had a similar treatment done. I like Just a Toys.
Oh, yeah. It's looking very nice. It's completely unpainted right now, so you can see where all the die-cast is. It seems to be exactly where it was on the original toy.
Hey!
It is looking very nice, though I will admit the one downside to this is that the wheels for space shuttle mode in train mode are sticking out hilariously over the cab section of the locomotive.
That can be a klaxon, or like the big horns.
There you go.
They gotta have.
You know what I'm looking at this unpainted. It's almost a bummer that there's die cast because it would be so cool to cast this thing entirely in glow in the dark plastic.
That would be crazy.
Like I think that would work myself as
that
a variant,
would work, but be totally crazy. But
the problem is that if this mold was designed with die cast in mind, they'd have to make an entirely new set of toolings to do those parts in plastic.
Well, that's only what the two pieces that are die-cast.
It's still new toolings, though. I mean,
yeah,
whatever that ends up costing.
You could make one frame that was that.
I guess. This all assumes that they even agree with me that glow-in-the-dark plastic is the business. So,
well, if they don't agree with you on that topic, then obviously they're doing it wrong.
One day, we will have toys we can play with during a blackout at night.
Yes. Or, you know, we'll have toy companies agreeing with us, or they are clearly enemies of freedom, is what I'll say. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that aside, are you thinking of picking this up?
Most likely. I've never picked up any of their world's smallest varieties before, and I've kind of regretted passing all of them at this point.
That's where I am.
I still hold out that maybe someday I'll track down all five Dinobots now.
I've seen the gift set now and then, which I believe was done in Comet colors, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's kicking around still. It's pricey because it's all of them at once. But
yeah. Well, if I'm going to buy all of them at once, you know, might as well get them in one box.
Yeah.
But this is looking really nice. Like I said, I'm a fan of Astro Train and the triple changing in general. And seems to do it very nicely. Though I know for a fact they are going to release this in every possible color scheme they can get away with.
Oh, yes. What, anime, white?
Yeah, anime, white, and then the U.S. toy release that was half and half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shattered Glass and then Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Shattered Glass Christmas.
Did the original Astro Train have a head swivel?
Shattered Glass Christmas. Halloween colors.
I'm seeing a head swivel on here, and I don't recall if the original toy had that.
No, it did not.
Oh, that's another added point of our team. The head swivels on G1 toys do they do so much. I remember when I was messing with Jared's Overlord, and we both discovered it had a head swivel. Suddenly that toy became 100 times better, because it could look.
That was an amazing moment in the room.
Oh, good lord.
Like, what?
And it's caught on film. It's caught on film when it happened. I was like, if only the head could turn. Like, you know, if I took it like this and turned it, then it turned. And I was like, did I just do that?
Discovered a feature that's been lost for 22 years.
You've either had a breakthrough or you've broken it.
All the way through.
I just ripped the head off. This head's stupid anyway.
Well, I know you have experience breaking heads off of rare toys.
I do. But I think Overlord is a new tier of rarity that I've not yet broken. I'm thinking of just cheating and getting a black Zarek so I can blame it on the toy. That was a gold plastic syndrome joke for the audience out there. I think that was a little bit too nerdy.
just a touch.
I'm looking forward to seeing this thing come out. This is definitely the kind of thing I would pick up if I saw it in person for a neat price. So I'll keep my eyes out for some info. And I don't mean to keep this train of third-party new pick picks going, but honestly, it's the most interesting stuff to me this week because I have two things I want to bring up. Because I'm a punk like that. The first one is a little bit of a personal thing I want to bring up, which is that Mastermind Creations has revealed the Nightmorpher X, the shattered glass colored Nightmorpher Commander. I think at this point it's safe to mention that I got to take a look at this thing at Cherry Bomb Toys about 3 weeks ago, and it was pretty cool. Like, going in as skeptical as I would be about a shattered glass item happening in 2011, Mastermind did a whole lot of stuff to make this thing feel like it is worthy of existing, is the best way I can put it. Like, it does not feel like a phoned-in repaint that happens to be shattered glass colors. There's a lot of deco differences, a lot of unique deco choices between the three. This thing does a few more new things. And its trailer piece is entirely clear purple plastic, which is kind of cool. Which means that some of his accessories are also clear purple plastic. And it adds this new effect to it that I kind of like. And also, his clear parts on the robot body are clear green, which adds a whole new, like, tiny spectrum of color that... these are all little things that, you know, you wouldn't really think about, but then when you see them in practice, it actually does quite a bit to make this guy feel very unique. So, I kind of dig it. And if you add another $20 to when you pick it up, Vanksta from Renderform has done a special axe hand for it, which is pretty cool. So I wanted to just mention that because... I like Mastermind Creations. I've liked them ever since the Nightmorpher Annihilator, when they proved that they want to do better than their first release. So, check this thing out. It is available online. It's somewhat pricey because it's a limited run item. They've only made 500 of them. People have already gotten angry about the price because the price is like $120, which is yet another $20+ over the last version that came out. But that is sadly a reality when you make less pieces of a toy. It costs more per item. I think that me and Aaron had a talk with Jacob about that in one of our TFCon podcasts, which you should check out. Jacob, by the way, is still entirely uninterested in podcasting because he still does not like the idea of people listening to him talk because he thinks he has nothing to say. No, I tried. I have tried.
Has he listened to any of our podcasts? Because it's not like it's that far off.
Yeah, he has. But he entirely does not like the idea of being put on the spot to talk about things. He's not got the what do you call it? The thing where you feel like you got something to say on a mic. He doesn't feel that he has that. So I'm still working on browbeating him into coming on the podcast again, but you'll have to bear with me, ladies and gentlemen.
We just have to get some more good quotables out of him, though.
I know. Hordes of queefing children. The other thing I'd like to bring up is a little bit of news regarding the TF Club Hercules. I bring this up because over the course of the last week, I have been browbeaten by other people into basically wanting to pick up X-Graver and the Dump Truck Man next month. And so TF Club has made several announcements. First and foremost being that they are entirely aware of several problems with the shovel piece on X-Graver, and they are working on providing all kinds of recompensation for those who have had losses of plastic and crackings and whatnot. I believe they're packing an entirely new crane piece in with X-Graver. Or, sorry, not X-Graver, but with the dump truck man,
heavy labor.
Heavy labor.
Oh, dear.
Heavy labor. But the new info is that on August 21st, they're going to reveal the last two figures of the project, Mad Blender and Neckbreaker. And that reveal will possibly include a full shot of the Hercules figure itself, because all six figures will have been prototyped, but we won't know for sure.
I hope so at that point.
Yeah, I really hope it does.
Yeah, we've got the other ones. We still don't know how it's all going together, but...
I mean, they've already shown the full Hercules with duplicate arms and legs at a toy show. So it's not like they have a veneer to keep up. And I really hope they do show it, because, like I said, having heard from several friends who have X-Graver, I've kind of been won over on it. Everything I've heard is that it's one of those toys where it's totally not worth $100, but it does a whole lot of stuff to butter you up whenever you start thinking about how much you spent on it. Where you're like, oh man, this is $100. Ooh, but the waist is clicky. That was $100, but there's so much light piping. That was $100, but it's so big. You know, like, it's one of those good, over expensive things where it does a whole lot to just kind of, you know, seduce you into being okay with its price, as opposed to the opposite effect, where something is a bit costly and then constantly has problems that come up to make you remember that it was costly. Anyway, that's a weird analogy, but I hope someone out there got it. Anyway, those are my new picks. We didn't get anything about Prime Toys, so I really didn't have anything else to bring up as a new pick, I gotta say. Yeah. I haven't been checking Radicons of late, so that is my faux pas.
I think it kind of works, because you go from small toys to a small Astro train to another purple train to another purple third-party toy.
Yeah, to a large one, too. We went from, like, world's smallest Astro train to the mother effing Hercules.
Almost as if it was planned to key one to the next.
We are so clever. That Hercules, once I had a better idea of its size, I recently, as I said last week, I got a 3A Badbot at TFCon, and that thing's about 14 inches tall. So now I kind of have a visual reference for how big Hercules might be, and it also got me kind of excited. I have fully played into the hype. My apologies, everybody.
It's starting to tempt me more and more as I realize I have less and less to buy over the next, you know, 6 months or so.
Well, you still have what I would call a safety zone, in that a lot of people are still uninterested because X-Graver is the only toy that's out. I think it's going to be a case where if these toys continue to maintain or surpass X-Graver, X-Graver's level of quality, each toy will cause these figures to become slightly harder to find. But I'm pretty sure that if they remain an awesome bunch of toys, they won't be impossible to get a hold of until probably the fourth one coming out at the end of the year. So you've still got a grace period, I think. And it's going to be exponential.
Then I think that they'd also be missing out if they're into releasing number 4, 5, and 6, and 1 and 2 are sold out, to not go back and do another run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'd have to gauge to see if it's...
Or for Crazy Town, do like a $500 gift set box.
My initial reaction was that would be the obvious thing to do once they've got all six of them out. But then I was like, will everyone who wants these have bought them already by then? Or will the number of people still wanted to buy these number enough to warrant doing... That, yeah. That's the problem is... Once X-Graver and Heavy Labor, for instance, sell out, are there going to be enough people still wanting to buy them to warrant doing another production run?
Or you do them in a G2 color scheme for the box set and get people to buy them all over again.
I'm already...
If they do that, I expect one for free for the idea.
I'm already just stuck with the fact that by the end of next year, I am probably going to have this Devastator and a Make-Toy Devastator standing on the same shelf with... You know, Unicron pieces blue tacked onto them. Just, you know, for sentimentality's sake. Anyway, we that's all we have on this thing right now. If you're interested in Hercules, there is the Hercules Mega Thread. If you have no interest in Hercules, guess what? It's all been compacted into a Mega Thread, so you only have to ignore the one thread. High fives all around. I'm going to shuffle things up now, and I think I'd like to actually do some listener questions up front.
Not even paying attention to the Skype chat.
Curveball.
Yeah. I also can't look at the Skype chat because, oddly enough, like Skype has crashed on my computer as far as the program goes, but apparently our voice chat is still running. So I actually can't see anything typed in the Skype chat.
All right.
Because I'm getting the Mac pinwheel of death whenever I hover over it.
So, I was going to say a story that should have gotten its own thing, and I didn't realize it until we were rolling and was trying to prompt you to do it.
Oh, well, I couldn't see
it. Beast Wars 2 is going to be released on DVD in Japan.
Oh, let's talk about that for a sec then.
There's a listing saying that Beast Wars 2 on Rakuten?
Rakuten.
Okay.
Rakuten.
Sorry.
Never mind. I can't explain why I find that funny. It's the same reason why I find people who call it Mandarake funny.
But anyway, Beast Wars 2 is going to be getting a DVD release in Japan, which brings up hopes for Beast Wars Neo, which brings up hopes for a decent dub being, or sub even being available. Sub more likely than dub.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I mean, being available and out there, because all I've ever seen of 2 was something that was like a bad VHS transfer, full of snow, thumbnail-y size, and it wasn't worth trying to watch.
That was Stenosaur's sub, I think.
Yeah.
Beast Wars 2, I want to say Beast Wars 2 and Neo have only been on Laserdisc, but I'm not sure.
Well, it could have been. I just remember trying to make heads or tails of this, and this would have been back in 2000, 2001, about the same time of Car Robots and R.I.D.
Yeah.
And getting back into the fandom and be like, what? There was other B stuff? Cool.
Yeah, this stuff was from the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, it was bad transfer or somebody pointing a camcorder at their TV type of a take that was just no good. And
all those days before everything was recorded forever to digital format the second it aired.
Yeah, this stuff was, I think this was before DVDs were a highly common piece of formatting for children's programming. Because I believe this stuff was all on VHS, and I want to say it was on Laserdisc, but I remember because Beast Wars 2 and Neo have hardly ever been fan-subbed, and I think part of it is that it was just really hard to actually get a hold of decent copies of them. And for some reason, no one had a way of ripping the existing media that might be out there. This is also big because even if Shout Factory doesn't pick them up, there are fan subgroups that are all over this stuff, and we can totally see some Cybertron Tachi come back to fight the Yatsu Decepticons or Destrons.
And I would love to see that because I know that there's story there and that it's more Beast Love that's been kind of taken and turned its own way, some for comics and for the club a little bit and this, that, and the other thing. It would be nice to see a good version of what really went on and not like episode synopsis of, looks like something cool happened here.
Well, it's kind of that renaissance we went through when TV Nihon first subtitled Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory, right? Yeah. Like when we could finally easily watch that stuff. This is also going to be interesting just to me because Beast Wars 2 and Neo had a couple terms that I've always loved watching people try to translate, like the Anglemois energy, or Anglemoy, or Anglemoss, or the other millions of ways it's been anglicized. and this is a story that had, like, Beast Wars Neo had Unicron in it, which is something a lot of people don't know.
You know, there's a toy with a turtle shell that never got released.
That is true. But there was actually... Actually, I'm not sure if this ever got released, but there was a Unicron-based color scheme on Beast Wars Galvatron, and I don't know if that was a lucky draw or if that was only an art. But
I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
Yeah, this is stuff, if you'd asked me this like 8 years ago, I probably would have been way fresher on it, but I haven't really looked at the Japanese Beast Wars anime series info for a very long time.
So things have filled up that void.
Yeah, this is the case where we're going to have a whole bunch of people saying, I'm surprised you didn't mention, and Daniel is going to be pounding his face on the desk. So my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. But no, that is some pretty big news. I'd forgotten about that. And yeah, I definitely hope this leads to Neo coming out, because you haven't lived until you've heard the Beast Wars Neo opening theme, Love Is Here.
God.
So this yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
You're welcome.
Well, probably a little optimistic to hope that this will get subbed. I mean, I think the Japanese collection has to do really well for them to do better.
I mean fan subs.
No, I'm talking legitimate ways, Vangelis.
I agree with you. The Japanese collection will have to do... I think the Japanese collection and the Beast Wars collection will both have to do really well for this.
That's the rough thing, because the Japanese collection can kind of roll off of all their G1 DVDs because it looks the same.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to go from the G1 DVDs that everybody remembers, that, you know, where I think a good portion of that expendable money is coming from, you know, the Beast Wars generation, where that's Transformers, those people, I say that like it's some sort of derogatory thing, that demographic group is now coming into the expendable money, but they're not going to have the same interest, I think, in the crazy Japanesey thing.
Yeah,
because it doesn't play the same way as Headmasters, Master Force.
It's not as mythological as those shows were to the early fan base. Yeah.
Come on, you people. There's a transforming penguin.
Oh, that's true.
You have to have this.
And there are dinosaurs. So many dinosaurs.
And amalgamum energy.
Yes, amalgamum energy. And Unicron. This is back when Unicron wasn't something that made you go like, oh, here comes Unicron again. This is back when it was like, Unicron?
Unicron was, oh, crap. Get to the ships.
Now the game has truly begun kind of stuff. Final level. Anyway, hopefully this will lead to some amazing stuff. This DVD release, is there a date put on it yet?
Upcoming.
Excellent. That's my favorite month. So we'll check back in on this in one of our upcoming recordings. Let's cover some listener questions, guys. I have a listener question here from Snake Eyes Fan 97. It's from the end of April, April 30th, 2011. He says, "Dear Vangelis, Omegas, Aaron, Lupus, and Gogdog." Well, what
the hell is Omegas?
What about Seth? This question's about Shockwave too.
Uh-oh.
Man. Seth's gonna hit me in the face with his hand. It's gonna sound like that. Anyway, the question reads, quote, "Based on the views of others and the debate, do you think Shockwave will be voiced by Corey Burton? Since there is a few British accents, now that the idea of these robots being real, the accent idea is still a bit strange. Do you think? P.S. TJ Omega rocks."
Who's that?
I don't know. Oh, and I'm supposed to do this in the Transtech Shockwave voice. Well, you know what? I just did. But the thing is that at the end of the day, accents are processed differently depending on your location. You may not, in fact, notice accents if they are not foreign to the workings of your mind. So perhaps if you didn't hear a Transtech Shockwave accent and voice just now, maybe you are Transtech Shockwave, and you're just too used to hearing that voice, and it sounded completely normal to you. Think about it, Snake Eyes Fan 97. Think about it. Now, this question is one of those ones where we know that Shockwave was not voiced by Corey Burton at this point. And for the sake of not saying any spoilers, I won't explain why I'm pretty sure he didn't take the role. But I'm pretty sure you guys know what I'm talking about at this point. However, there is a valid question in here that we can still answer, which is, with the idea of the live-action movie robots being, you know, quote-unquote more realistic, isn't it odd how they all have accents still? Which I think is a valid question. It's actually answered slightly, I think, and I want to say it was answered somewhat in a piece of movie comic book fiction where it depends on where they crash-landed, because they would localize themselves based on, you know, the internet. Yeah. So if they crash in, like, London, they'll go like, well, the humans in this area all speak like this. Oi, oi, oi. What up? I'm a Transformer. It's time to go and take down the bar. yes, quite gentleman kind of stuff. And there should have been a Transformer who spoke like that in the live-action movies.
But you?
No. He was totally not as believable as my English accent was just there. So what do you guys think about the way that the movieverse includes accents, despite being a somewhat more quote-unquote realistic vibe? Aaron?
I think the localization makes for a decent argument. Looking at this from a movie side, not deep into the mythology, it makes sense because it makes it easier to distinguish who's talking.
Mm.
Because if everybody has a unique voice pattern, then you can figure it out a little bit better. I think much of the movie would be more difficult if everybody had Stephen Hawking's Sentho voice or whatever, you know, things. If you want to say, hey, they're all in the end machines getting it from the internet, why don't they all sound the same? From a movie perspective, I think that makes sense. Also, I think some of it could be like, you know, what culture do they like?
Yeah, it could
so, be. So, you know, if somebody really loves the Wild West, you know, he's going to end up with some of that twang and woohoo type of things, you know. And that all can very well be determined by personality. You know, you're not going to have somebody that really likes the you know, going back to yours, the English British thing and come out, you know, talking like he's Italian.
British.
So yeah, British. He's not gonna come out rolling R's and sounding Italian or French or Spanish. He's gonna sound like
he's gonna
British,
talk
so.
Proper.
Yeah. So I can kind of understand it in that. Voiced is a funny thing that gets a lot of stuff loaded in it as well. So
I think it's actually kind of funny now that I think about it, that the movie version never did it ever even have a Texan? I can't remember there being a Texan voice amidst
Ironhide.
All the movies. No, but
he was kind of
British.
Ironhide?
He had a little bit of English to him. He had a little bit of that just a little bit of that rumble and that certain pronunciation of vowels that made me think, you know, European. But I don't know. There was no real outright Texan, was there?
Yeah. No, there
no.
Which is funny because, you know, the movies are pretty American, for lack of better words. I don't know. And we kept thinking there were going to be hillbillies. Twice now, didn't we? We thought the Wreckers and we thought the Twins were all going to be, you know, walking around talking about moonshine and whatever it is that your Southerners talk about.
Fornication with their cousins. Oh, I went there. Sorry, guys.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't go there. I just want to say for the record, that was not me. In fact, I did not even think of that. That was all on Aaron.
I can say that because I have great-grandparents that come out of there and we're not sure of what's going on in that branch of the family
because
tree.
I have,
by genealogy.
Because I have great-grandparents that come out of there.
The family tree comes out of Kentucky and no one's sure what it does there. So,
man, I'm leaving that topic to you if it comes up later on.
Bring it.
All family angry tree, Texans.
The family tree may or may not branch.
Good Lord.
That is also late 1800s Kentucky, so who knows?
I'm not from there. I'm not touching that with a 50-foot pole. Incest. I don't remember what we were talking about anymore.
Listener questions.
Accents in robots.
Accents in robots. Omegas, please don't talk about incest.
I will try not to.
Okay.
I make no promises.
Excellent.
This has always bugged me. Like, when I hear Transformers speaking with an accent, it kind of brings me back to a Cybertron vibe, where there wasn't so much effort put into individualizing the characters with different personalities as so much as, well, let's make sure kids can identify them apart because we'll make them speak with a different accent.
The planet of Scottish giants.
Scottish Giants. You travel through all the way to the edge of the universe through this time vortex, come out the other side, and they're all Scottish.
The original Transformers were, in fact, Scottish and large.
It does get to that point where one of the complaints I think a lot of people had about the movies was that, you know, the Transformers themselves just really weren't seen as characters. And, you know, I think that's reinforced by the fact that they felt like they had to put accents on everybody to distinguish them. Like, you don't see, like, different characters. You know, Simmons doesn't have an accent. He doesn't sound Scottish or Australian, just so you could tell him apart from Sam. Because the characters have distinct personalities.
You can get a better coordination of C-person talk, moving mouth. Your brain is wired to better understand the differences between people, whereas the differences between giant robots whose mouths you may or may not be able to see, or may or may not even have mouths.
Yeah, but I can tell the giant blue one from the giant red one without one of them being Hispanic, and it's unfortunate what happened to his voice
what
actor.
What if I'm colorblind? Exactly.
I still feel that it weakens the characters when that's how you have to distinguish them. Like, if that becomes a problem, like if the visual distinction becomes a problem, then there's a problem, you know, up the chain before you even get to the point where how are we gonna make them sound? Like, you don't need that on Transformers Prime. We didn't need it in Beast Wars. You know, we didn't need it in the original cartoon. We could tell the characters apart because they looked different and had different personality.
But they also all have drastically different voices. It's not like Ratchet sounds like Mulcahy.
Okay, that's a casting decision, though.
Right.
Yeah, and that is something that the movies did feel like they took for granted. At least number three took strides, definitely, away from this, especially by finally putting effing John DiMaggio into a more frontal role. But it seemed like the live action movies did take a while to kind of realize, aside from Peter Cullen, it is good to actually have unique and like really noticeable voice actors being given enough lines and direction to actually stand out.
And that is also another rough thing, is because in a movie, you've got an hour and a half to 2.5 hours to flesh all this stuff out. But with Prime, I mean, we're up to episode-ish 2021. So you've had, multiply that by a half hour, you've had 10 hours of media in order to better discern things. It's a lot easier to put subtlety in there in something that's episodic
I've still seen movies where I could tell aliens apart, and I could tell other machines apart.
I think it definitely has to do with how seriously the voice actors are treated, because even the best voice actor, if they're not treated like a resource and instead are treated as the guy who makes the robot say lines, the effect is different.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
That was a big thing where that's why I was so pumped that they actually put like heavy direction, at least to me, behind the voices of, you know, two of the Wreckers, Sideswipe and Dino. In the third movie, because it meant that you actually could tell when they were talking, even if they weren't on screen. Granted, they had accents too. They had hella accents at times, but it didn't feel like they were accents and nothing else to me. But I didn't mean to shut that down or anything. I actually had a point to bring up based on your comment about Cybertron. I forgot if I said this before, but it's actually funny. Transformers Energon had a somewhat boring dub where everyone was just kind of speaking in their normal voices, whereas the source material, Superlink, was like the Looney Tunes in that everyone had just a derangedly cartoonally different voice. And then come Galaxy Force, everyone's just speaking in their normal acting voices, and Cybertron has everyone doing accents. And I think it proved... just like, no matter what you do, you know, one side changes their mind, the other one goes like, hey, let's give that a shot.
But you are right. It is about how the voice actor is treated, because, you know, you had phenomenally talented people. I mean, you had David Kaye, Gary Chalk, Scott McNeil working on these shows.
And the, it's just, all the Dobsons.
and all the Dobsons, and you, just the way they were treated. And I'll even put I'm gonna blank on his name. God. Brad Swale.
Yes.
Brad Swale, who was like thrilled to be in a Transformer series as kicker. You know, just the fact that he finally got to be in one.
Mm-hmm.
Very enthusiastic about being there, but the way they were treated just didn't make it come out right. I could remember hearing an episode or two of Energon where you could tell Gary was just so sick of saying Optimus Prime Super Mode every episode that you could literally hear, you know, the dial tone when he was phoning in the line.
Well, in terms of just outright direction, my biggest example I always give is when I finally, because I stopped watching Energon because I just finished Super Link. I'd been really disappointed with Super Link, and then Energon's dub started, and I started watching it, and I was just like, I just don't want to go through this cartoon again. And so I forgot which Dobson did it, but one of the Dobsons played Rodimus. And at BotCon 05, they did this script reading where they were going to do Shakespeare, but in character as their Transformers characters, but it was Energon dub characters. And so when I heard him do the Rodimus voice, he was speaking in a deep voice, and that was it. And I was like, is that all that he has been given to latch onto as his character? Is that, you know, this is what Rodimus sounds like because he's Rodimus? And I'm like, well, you're acting really well, but I have no idea how that's Rodimus.
Yeah. Like, I've heard an interview where Scott McNeil has complained that the director for that series just literally didn't care. He just wanted to get the lines out and get it on with. Like, no direction, no life to the translation, nothing.
That's a common problem, though, with translated.
Well, translated stuff, especially when you're trying to... Yeah, especially when you got the same translation studio and the same cast trying to get out what is essentially a weekly series for three straight years.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, as has been sort of stated by design team members, that experience is something that Hasbro decided to put behind them, and obviously did, as the series we got since then were a lot more solid in terms of production. But it's only panels, but having heard from voice actors, it's always clear to me that, you know, even the best voice actor, if they aren't treated as an actor, they can only do so much unless they're having a really inspired day. So I think that we've kind of tangented a little bit away from the question, but it was a good discussion nonetheless. So I'm happy about it. Anyway, thank you for your question, Snake Eyes Fan 97. I'd like to move on to our second question, which is from Is That One, or One That Is on YouTube, who sent this in on May 6th of this year. His question is, quote, from the entirety of Transformers, what have you learned? Not just from growing up with it, but from all things in life that relate to it, such as this TFW 2005, the Michael Bay movies, etc. I understand that this portion of your life could not be a cornerstone on which personality, character, life lessons, etc. may emerge. Then again, this could all just be a franchise. But what is your answer? Thank you. So it's a pretty deep question. You know, and it's one that, in my case, I could probably answer for a while because I've been into Transformers since I was a baby, and I've been into the fandom since 99. So it's been there through a lot of what I have done. But I'll try to limit it a little bit on my end. But before I answer this question at all, I want to ask you guys, what have you learned from the entirety of Transformers? Omegas. You go first.
Shoulder wounds can be fatal.
Yes.
That's the key thing.
That is actually true, too. You take a bad shoulder wound, you don't get it treated, it'll get infected, and boom.
Yeah. That's what happened to Braun, just like instant onset infection.
That's what would have happened to Braun if he didn't fall through the ship and turn into Unicron and then go back in time. And
exactly.
I've already explained this.
Honestly, I kind of, like, I'm in the same boat as you where, Transformers just always been around for me. I can't remember a time when I didn't have the toys and I wasn't, you know, just into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it was something that was me bonding with my dad because, you know, the story I always tell is when, you know, my first birthday comes around, my dad gets me the first Optimus Prime. Not because he wants me to play with it, because he wanted to use me as an excuse to play with it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, you know, he had an interest in the toys because he's a big kid, and it's just always been there. You know, to this day, like, I like showing him what new stuff and how far the engineering has come, what old characters they brought back. Yeah, and he's still into it. Like, he's still got the Autobot symbol on his car. So that's because I'm a tech head. I'm a computer guy. I'm a video guy. He's automotive. He's hands-on, you know, work with the power tools. Like, interest-wise, we do not converge in many locations. But Transformers is like one of these things that we bond over.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's something that's made it remain special about my life. But just beyond that, like, I view it very differently, because I view it almost in the way of like a storyteller, where I look at my shelves, there's 1,200 pieces of plastic looking back at me, but all of them have this different personality, design, character, and it's this source of inspiration for me to realize that this, you know, basically the same people can keep coming up with all these different characters, and even the ones that are, you know, rehashes of previous ones, still have nuances that make them unique and stand out amongst their previous incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's just, it amazes me that so much fiction can be behind these guys and they still come up with new things.
Yeah, definitely. The length and breadth of really any franchise that has this much longevity can at least it's in some way you can look at it and go, like, just how much creative force has gone into this. You know, an obvious one being just look at how much creative force went into Star Trek, for better or for worse. But Aaron.
Enterprise, I'd question the creativity level there, but it's another podcast.
It was Quantum Leap. Hey. Quantum Leap was a great show.
Enterprise wasn't that bad. Come on.
I still love in Enterprise they had that room with the time-traveling crew member who had the room full of future devices that they couldn't use except when they had to use them to finish the episode.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of Enterprise from what I saw.
The plot device room.
Because I only watched a few episodes of Enterprise, but somehow I watched two of those episodes in a row, and I haven't watched much Enterprise.
There are like three of those episodes.
I know.
Generally, it's really pivotal.
And I was like, the second episode I saw had the plot device room again. And I was like, did I just have like a bad pull of episodes that I decided to watch? Anyway, Aaron, how would you answer the question?
So, from all of this Transformer stuff, what have I learned? First and foremost, being a collector is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some completionist time in there, and I've talked about that before, and that's not good for a budget or sanity. I've also learned that get yourself good friends, and they can take care of you a lot and have a great time. TFCon and BotCon anymore are less about the robot toys and more about the bro potential.
Mm-hmm.
For the serious things. Beyond that, I don't think I've picked up, like, from the show, any life lessons. I think the very face on literal of the question, it is ultimately entertainment, be it on video or comic or toy form.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of the secondary things that go on being a part of any fandom, really, that I would hope any fandom, except for those Hot Wheels people. Those guys
are, I don't talk about them.
But, yeah, that's if I had to say what's the best thing that I've pulled out of being a Transformers fan, it's definitely that friends can become family. Great to keep them like that.
Yeah, I have a lot that I could say I've learned in life that has stemmed out of being a fan of this particular franchise, but I would preface it by saying that a lot of this stuff I don't think is unique to this franchise. I think it is just something that comes from being an enthusiast, a hobbyist, or a passionate fan of something. Because, I mean, If it was not for Transformers, I would not be a toy collector. If it wasn't for Transformers, I wouldn't go to conventions and meet a lot of the people that I still talk to this day. If it wasn't for Transformers, I would not have gotten into podcasting and possibly would not have gotten into making videos. Because they were, you know, I do podcasts and videos about other things now, but in many walks of life, the first piece of subject matter I based an activity on was usually a Transformers thing, because it's one of my favorite things. So it's kind of like, you know, you go to talk to any long time, decades long Star Wars or Star Trek fan, I'm sure they would say a lot of the things I said, except that it happened because of Star Wars, or because of Star Trek, or because of Firefly, or because of Farscape. You know, many things have a deep fandom to them. So I think it's kind of goes in both ways, because in one way, yes, it is just a franchise, but in another way, it plays the role of a franchise that through one's enthusiasm one can find the inspiration to do a whole lot of things and meet a whole lot of people. And you know, one would say, you know, you can find that enthusiasm elsewhere. It's like, you certainly could, but you wouldn't meet the same people or do the same things. So it's a fun question, but for the sake of brevity, one that I might just leave at that. Otherwise, I'll be here for another hour. But the what I would say as an answer to this question, in terms of something that might enrich other people, to be very arrogant for a second, is that whatever you love, love it because you love it, and then see what comes of it. You know, take your passion, take your fandom, and make something positive of it, not something negative. Love something, and then through that decide, hey, I love this, and I want to try doing this thing. It relates to this way, and I want to expand how much I love this thing into some other activities. So follow your passions and follow them in a positive way. Don't let your passion dictate to you, I love this thing, therefore I must hate something else. That's not a good way to go about stuff. That's not a good lesson to take from any fandom, be it Transformers or otherwise. And I'm going to stop there before I continue on a long train of waving my hands around and speaking through the front of my brain. So thank you for the question. Is that one that is? I attempted a very poor approximation of your dulcet tones. My apologies. I couldn't hit the same level. We have one more listener question this evening, coming to us from XL Hedge, sent in on May 12th of 2011. He says, hello to Vangelis and his bronies of Cyberponaville, or panty bots and stocking cons of chaos. I have questions, you have answers, and I know these won't get answered till after Dark of the Moon comes out. Very astute, young XL Hedge.
Good job.
Question number one. Given how popular a certain Hasbro series has gotten, how would you feel about a TF crossover My Little Pony figure line, with an attached image of a Megatron pony? Which characters would you like to see, either from TF or MULP, and what would they transform into? I would like to see Fluttershy transform into a butterfly and a tank. That's my answer to that question. Aaron, what about you?
Metroplex and Scorponok as ponies.
That'd be really weird.
But to scale.
So giant robot horses.
Yep, that do nothing but look left and right and have fake real hair tails.
All right. And Aaron, you already answered the question.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
So, Magus Prime, what would you say is the answer to this question that you have?
I'll give you my answer, Lupus.
All right. I got to go. Bye.
I am in no way a brony. I have no idea what to make of the new My Little Pony. What I will say, if you repaint Mach Kick in pink and give it a Maximal logo where the cutie mark goes, I will buy it.
That's a good,
just
see,
for the hilarity.
I was about to say, if any of you bring up Mach Kick, I'm gonna throw a chair. But that is actually a really good idea. So, applause. I would buy it too. I want to throw out there, I really hope that folks who are into My Little Pony are into it because they actually like it, not because their friends are all into it as well. Because, I mean, I've watched the first two episodes. It is a beautiful piece of cartoonery. It's a fantastic show. Just, you know, don't turn it into the next The Cake is a Lie, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a great show. I think a lot of people give it a pretty hard time without having seen the show. But at the same time, you know, sometimes calm down a little bit. You know, it's... But I dig that show. I've only watched two episodes, though. And I got to admit, I'm not entirely enthused to sit down and marathon the rest of them. I don't think I've had that day happen yet. So my apologies to the bigger fans of the show. I, to this day, continue to stand up for the show, having only watched two episodes of it. So I'm like that guy who thinks More Than Meets the Eye is the only Transformers cartoon that ever came out. I love Dogbot. Question number two. What is your Autobot Decepticon leader dream fight matchup? Any series, West or East? How would the fight start, end, and who is left standing? I would want to see an Autobot leader fight a Decepticon leader. It would start with them fighting, and it would end with one of them losing the fight, and then the winner would be left standing. But I don't know if you guys agree with that approach. So, Aaron, what would your answer be to this question?
You took my answer almost verbatim.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
I was going to say an Optimus versus a Megatron, but
oh, see, that's new. That's something to add in.
Yeah, that's. But yeah, there'd be something that they were talking over, and the Autobot would say, "Oh, look," or Prime would say, "Oh, look, we really don't have to fight." And Megatron would say, "Yeah, screw you," and then shoot, and then there'd be a fight, and it'd be like the cartoony, the really cartoony, like Warner Brothers Dust Cloud, where you see arms, legs, and a head pop out occasionally, and then it'd cut away, and then you'd see Bugs Bunny.
Omegas, it's up to you to blow us away with a completely unique answer to this question.
Minicon Sparkplug versus Minicon Leader 1.
Who animates it? What company?
I'm not sure what animation companies are left.
Sunrise! Boom. They're doing Tiger and Bunny. It's turning out well. I want to see them animate Minicons now. Anyway, question number three. What is the best toy in all the movie lines? The absolute must-have. And which character do you wish was made? So that's actually two questions. That's cheating. Listing those two questions is question number three. I'm just going to say right now. Omegas, what do you think the best movie toy is? And I understand this is a tricky question given that you are not a heavy movie toy collector.
Not a heavy Dark of the Moon collector. I've got a ton of the other movie toys.
You don't have the best versions then with the mech tech weapons. It's all new. You pull the switch and the gun turns into a gun.
Wow! Optimus has stars on his chest.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard. I mean, once again, you're trying to narrow down a few hundred toys to one.
Yeah, I know these are common questions, but I've never, and I think I said this before, I've never really enjoyed the whole, to me it's work to try to go like, in the pantheon of Transformers, tens of thousands of unique toys that there are, choose out the best one. I'm like,
yeah, because I've got one over here. I've got ones that I like for different reasons, you know, there's no true preference between them, there's just different reasons why I like them the same amount. Like, I could name a favorite toy, it's not a movie toy though.
And the tricky thing is trying to identify exactly what the objective standards are to objectively select out what the best movie toy would be.
This is true. Not to mention, it's very objective, because I like something that has a clean transformation, whereas I know people that love how complex the movie line can get, which personally gets on my nerves.
You know, Dark of the Moon fixed a whole lot of that. You should pick up some Dark of the Moon toys.
Totally. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, there's a lot of the Dark of the Moon that you're like, wow, this is going to be really complex. Three steps later, oh.
How did I do all that?
That's cool.
The toy just slipped me roofies and transformed itself.
the best one out of the movie line, if I had to pick one, you're either looking at the Dark of the Moon Leader Prime, or I'm still a big proponent of Human Alliance Bumblebee. Which is real easy, because they still release him in every wave.
Yeah, he's not hard to find. At all. Alright, so I'm guessing you meant the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime.
Yeah, I said Revenge of the Fallen.
You said Dark of the Moon Leader Prime. I was like, he likes Jet Wing Prime so much, he spent the $200 to import it? For real? Wish I had that toy.
Okay, Leader Prime that actually looks like Prime from the movie. not the one that looks like a G1 toy attempting to be movie Prime.
All right. Oh, and here's an even harder question for you, considering your somewhat lack of being hardcore into the movie aesthetic. What character do you wish was made in the movie aesthetic?
Oh, God.
You know, that aesthetic really like. Who do you wish was made in it?
Army wants to say transmutate because it'd be, look exactly the same.
Oh, burn!
Oh.
Honestly, I probably would go with a Star Saber just because I can never go wrong with any Star Saber. I don't care where you use it.
Oh, man. I was going to say something about that being the answer I was predicting, but I honestly wasn't predicting that for some reason. I thought there's no way
this is why.
It.
This is why I'm on this show. I can throw you off.
There's no way he's going to say Star Saber again for the movieverse. He doesn't like
I'm
the movieverse.
I'm going to say Star Saber again.
Man,
broken record time.
Yeah, broken record time.
I thought the needle was gone. I replaced the needle while you weren't looking.
It's just hard to pin down someone that would actually look good in the movie aesthetic out of the list of characters that I like.
Star That's Upper.
Star Upper. No, honestly, I was waiting for a movie Galvatron.
Yeah, he kind of happened, except that he was still Megatron in new bodies.
Yeah.
Like, he was never actually purple. But then again, neither was Shockwave. Like, he kind of was. Here and there, in the right light. Yeah, Galvatron
very,
never
very
really happened.
Purple light. He looked kind of purple.
Exactly. Well, Aaron, what is your favorite... Or what do you no not what's your favorite? What is the best movie toy?
Again, the condensing it all down to one. Well, the whole time I was sitting there thinking, and the best thing that I could come up with is the two Dark of the Moon Voyagers that I have at this point, or three that I have at this point, are all very good toys. And if I were to say by size, class, and whatnot, that would be it. But there's just been so much that it all comes down to what are you looking at? How do you define best? Are you saying, you know, cost for fun? Because then you're looking more, I mean, Hatchet's crazy awesome for $7. Or are you talking... like super ultimate play functions, because then you're looking at maybe Battle Ops Bumblebee or something like that.
Or in my case, like if you think that the best movie toy is the one that best represents Optimus Prime's homicidal psychosis.
Yes.
Then I'm looking at like Fireburst Voyager Optimus Prime, for instance.
Yeah. There's so many different ways that best could be taken that, They've done a good job of, it's not like, hey, there's one good toy and all the rest kind of suck, but we don't talk about that. I mean, there have been a lot of very good toys that are out there, and fewer, it seems, duds. Yeah. So it's really hard to say, hey, and... 3 to 5 years worth of toys, pick one.
Well, that aside, what if you could add someone to the movieverse aesthetic? Who would it be?
Oh, let's go with Drift.
I'm surprised that never happened, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I feel like Mirage kind of took Drift's spot almost.
Yeah, a little bit. It's just Mirage. When I say Drift, I'm thinking sports car, big damn sword.
Yeah.
Because Mirage had... Mirage Dino, in the game, he had little arm blade things. But never like how Prime had his various, you know, sword, axe, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Big weapon things. It would have been interesting to see a smaller vehicle with similar armaments. You know, big honking sword. Yeah, Excites what kind of did ish.
Yeah, except they were built into his arms.
Yeah.
So he was a sports car too. He kind of took the.
Yeah.
He and Dino kind of felt like, hey, our cousin Drift might come by here sometime.
Yeah.
yeah.
And have cherry blossoms everywhere. Oh,
that was the best. Drift-O-Koon! Yeah. Stop the Yatsutachi. In the meantime, I'll answer the question. I want to see Omega Supreme done in the Movieverse aesthetic.
And I'm the broken record.
Nope. I am. I'm taking it back. I'm taking back broken recordness for all the peeps out there in Washington, in Seattle, in Eglinton Mall. This is all for you, bro. And then I my favorite Movieverse toy. Sorry, the best Movieverse toy. That's a different question. The best Movieverse toy. Let's say Ultimate Optimus Prime because he's the biggest. There you go. He's the biggest Movieverse toy. I believe he is in fact bigger than Devastator to a certain degree, in terms of sheer parts count. So,
yeah, probably.
Yeah, there you go. Then he's the best Movieverse toy, obviously. I don't know. I like a lot of the Movieverse toys, and a lot of the Movieverse toys I actually like after having gone through a long period of thinking I wouldn't like them. It's always been the engineering that surprised me, and kind of impressed me in some way. So I've always kind of been warmed up to the Movieverse toys because I always kind of felt like, you know, at first. It became less so as they went on, but the whole Movieverse engineering process always kind of felt like this challenge to the designers, almost, of like, we need you to design these things that, you know, on paper and in the eyes of any random Joe on the street would not ever work as toys, and we want you to design them to work as toys. And that's where I've always felt kind of... I've always kind of felt a fondness for the movie lines in that way. And that they, you know, back in 07, when we saw the first movie design pictures, we were like, there's no way those will ever be toys. And then they were. Not quite as well as they could have been, but they were. And as time went on, they got closer and closer to that and in ways that have astounded me. So, you go, movie line, you go. And he finishes up by saying, lastly, Vangelis, hurry up and watch Panty and Stocking already. I'll do it sometime. I still have to watch Fireball... Charming and Tiger and Bunny, and I have to get caught up on Gokaiger because I haven't seen past episode 4.
Wow.
Yeah, true story. I've actually been downloading it all day.
you've got to catch up. The new one is so screwed up.
Do you know what made me decide to start downloading it again? When I saw that the next episode, as of this recording, is going to have all three original Hurricanegers coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You wanted the Sentai show that got me into Sentai was Hurricanger. So I have a severely deep-seated love of Hurricanger and everything about it. And when I saw that they're coming back, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I saw a villain return from Hurricanger, a villain who I particularly enjoyed. And I was like, I need to see this show right now.
So did it become a perfect storm?
Ooh.
A what?
A perfect storm. Storm, Hurricanger. I did the fake glasses and I did not scream, yeah, into the microphone out of respect, but.
Oh man, that was horrible. That was really bad.
I got it.
That was horrible. Wow, I'm bleeding from the nose right now. Oh man,
yes!
I'm feeling physical pain. This is pretty amazing, guys. Thank you for your question, Axel Hedge. This is a perfect time for an intermission, so I'm going to go stop bleeding, and then we'll be back with what we got this week. Probably a pretty long one because mm-hmm. we're all off kilter in this even yep. squad. So mm-hmm. get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. It could be pretty ultimate.
So, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
You boys a bit bored? Snap into it! Snap into a Slim Jim! Tag to the spice! Maybe just a taste!
Hey, nice! Antique!
Snap into it! Need a little excitement? Step into a Slim Jim!
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, with what we got this week. We're going to talk about the Transformers we got this week, and then the other stuff we got this week. In terms of Transformers, we have a little bit of crossover, and I'd like to do our two crossover bits first. Now, the first one, I'm going to be a bit selfish and do the fun one first, just so we get the fun one up front, because the other crossover is probably not going to go as well. But me and Aaron both got a big-ass toy. Oh, that was satisfying to hear. We got Ultimate Optimus Prime. Now, Aaron, I got mine because in Canada, Toys R Us is having a sale of 30% off everything Transformers. So I paid about $70 plus tax for mine. What did yours cost you?
Mine cost me $80.
But yours is specialer than mine.
Yes, because mine's been hauling Energon since 84.
You got the SDCC version.
Yes. Which I didn't hardly want to open it.
It looks
not
so nice.
Not out of fear, but the box it came shipped in. So this Gerotimus was online when these things went live, and so he had a big order of other stuff for people at our comic shop, whatever. So he ended up getting a really honking huge box because of the Indiana Jones Lost Wave was a big box inside of the box.
But anyway, he got that?
Yeah, he got two or three of them, I think. I saw, but so Prime's box is it's the flames. I put a picture of it on Twitter where it has the flame design on one side of the box, but it's just like a cardboard shipping box that has that. So then you open that up, and then it's the box that we saw that has Prime slide out of it, and so then you can still have Prime displayed underneath like an alternator style, like that last wave of alternators packaging.
Yeah.
Where it was the bubble and you could see all the way around it except for the bottom of it. So then it's packed like that after you get the sleeve off of it. So then you do that. Well, the back part of that box then comes off and it has a magnet latch on it. So then you can pull the whole bubble thing out and have just a display stand with it. And then you unpop some plastic tabs underneath it and then you have another two layers of good clear plastic to get through before you actually get to the toy. And the whole time I'm like, wow, this is super awesome.
I'd pay an extra $10 for that.
Yeah. In comparison to the like Prime standing up with the backpack on.
Well, don't get me wrong though. The box that he comes in at retail is still bloody huge. I was like, I was carrying it back home or back to the apartment, sorry, from Eglinton Mall. And I nearly wiped out like six children with that box. Because that box is enormous for a retail box. It's still a pretty big box, and it's a heavy box. That is a big chunk of toy.
Yeah, that's the kerchunk that hopefully came across very well on the microphone.
I have one other question for you in terms of what you've got that I don't got, and that is, are the stickers just the stripe? Because I've been looking online, and I could only find one video, not even images. I only found one video of a little kid detailing what stickers he used, and he didn't even use all of them.
Okay. The sticker sheet has the chrome stripe that actually looks like it's four or five different pieces of sticker for the different panel lines.
Yeah.
And then it has a red, still all chrome, hauling Energon since 1984. It's the red with blue flames. It has three different license plates. One is Prime, one is SDCC 2011, and one is 4KH4213. Not sure what that's supposed to be.
Must be the license plate of the vehicle.
Yeah, it could be. Somebody will have one still shot, and then all of them have California Perm trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That must be very close to the real California plates. And then it has three Autobot stickers, one large one and two smaller ones.
Oh,
and
cool.
It also comes with, it's downstairs with the instructions, the recommended placement of everything except for the Holland Energon. You get to pick where that one goes. But it has places on the cab for the two smaller Autobot stickers to go on the side of the cab like the G1 toy would have had. And I forget where the larger sticker was to go.
I'm guessing the larger one goes on that silver Autobot symbol on the backpack or the front of the trailer.
That might be. I don't remember if there's a spot there that, yeah, that could be because there's.
Seems like a logical place.
No, but it's a lot bigger than that, though.
Probably. Oh. Whoa.
Time and a half larger than that, so.
So aside from the stickers, though, it is like Aaron has a far superior box and a cool sticker sheet, both of which I think are totally worth the extra $10 if I had the chance to pay $80 for that. But that aside, we both have the same physical figure. So the vehicle mode, I mean, there's not much to say about it because it's the mock truck with a trailer. I mean, you know what it looks like. But the first major point of discussion would be the prime robot mode, like the singular robot mode. Now I put that thing together, and all photos made it look pretty awful. In hand, it's one of those toys which is just not photogenic. It's certainly not an amazing prime toy at all, but it is not the gorilla armed monstrosity some photos have gotten across to me. The forearms are pretty big, but if you put them in the right pose, it's not all that noticeable. Right. It's not like a highlight of the toy, but it could have gone much worse, I think. It doesn't feel like it was an ignored mode, but how did you feel about the robot mode?
The robot mode was definitely lankier than Prime's past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think some of the things that drew me. His windshield doesn't do a whole lot. He has a part that goes out of the middle of it for his transformation.
Weird.
So you don't get quite as much angle as you're used to seeing in the other toys, but it doesn't, I mean, it's not glaring the way that I thought it was going to be when I saw it originally. It feels like not quite Voyager-sized. Or maybe Voyager-sized with, if he had some sort of weapon.
It's old-timey Voyager-sized, because it actually does stand a bit taller than modern Voyagers in Dark of the Moon.
But
that's not a main feature. Anyone who buys this is buying it because they liked the look of the armoring up mode. And the transformation of the trailer into the armor I actually quite enjoy, although it has one problem, which is that most of the time you're going to rip the wings right off the joints and then have to stick them back on.
you're hearing me fight right now with a little bit of that.
This toy, even transforming the truck cab itself, this toy requires excessive force to move some parts. And, you know, nothing breaks, but it can get a bit... Like, this toy feels like it's challenging you. It's going like, by the way, I'm Optimus Prime and I'm Ultimate. You got to be a tough guy to transform me, or you know.
There, I was fighting to get the massive gun off of the top of him. The way that he clips in was what all the grunting and clicking and popping was.
But once you armor him up, he goes into the armor quite solidly. The aesthetic is one that I really enjoy, especially when you fold all the wings down like a cloak. I think that looks really cool. Although I like them all unfolded as well, but. There's one point that we talked about before the recording, which is really cool, is that the armor, once it clips on over his shoulders and arms, maintains arm articulation.
Yeah.
There's a huge series of joints, pin joints, and an additional outer elbow joint, so that Optimus Prime's arms are fully poseable, even in the armor. And this extends to his small robot mode as well. Those shoulder pad things made from the sides of the truck are kind of janked. They just sort of float. But whatever, you know, they look good when you aren't touching them. But I like you, I thought it was really great that he actually maintains arm poseability.
I thought that was, I'm trying to think of the, became GoBots. Why am I blanking on the name of that toy line from Japan?
Machine Robo?
Yeah. Yes. Machine Robo.
Wow. Because
Machine Robo had a toy that did that similarly, three layers that Proto Man showed off last year's TFCon.
Badly anglicized Viking Fu, Baikon Fu. And to a lesser extent, the classic Godaikin Guardian did the same gimmick.
Yeah, but it's really interesting because you look at all the hardware that goes into that, because it's 1, 2, 3, it's probably like 7 joints for the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then another, it looks like just one, oh no, two for the up in the shoulder, but for the elbow to make sure that all of those points line up so that it can move and you're getting both the internal and external articulation on it.
It's worth mentioning that the way the trailer transforms and combines, there is no parts forming whatsoever. The trailer remains in one piece. The entire time, for better or for worse, because for better, they actually engineered the arms to work the entire time. For worse, the only hip movement you get is God Jinrai hip movement. That's what all his legs do
you
now.
You get a little bit of splay. Come on.
You get some good splay and really awesomely heavy ankle tilts. So, like, this guy will stand solid, flat-footed on your... And that helps a lot, more than you might expect. And it also really solidifies this guy. I mean, Random Factor put it really well, because he picked it up the same day I did, actually. And he was like, this thing is like movie-verse God Jinrai. And I was like, it totally is.
Yeah, that honestly is one of the things that was the tipping point for me.
Yeah.
When we were seeing it, and it was like, oh, this is so Power Master Optimus Prime, because that was my first Optimus Prime, was Power Master. I didn't have a G1 Prime until a lot later. So to see something that was a bit of that made me fangush.
Now, the downside is the only articulation in his legs are the ankle tilts and the splay hips. It's very heavy, very solid, but it's all it does. There's no forward or backward motion, and there's no knees. Yeah. And given the way that the legs connect to the armor, they're actually, I think, really easily could have been knees, but those would be useless without a forward or backward hip joint. And the nature by which this toy combines, I see why they would have skipped a forward or backward hip joint, because I think they would have needed to put in a massive ratchet for this thing to even stay standing.
They could do something similar to the arms, because to keep the full arm articulation, there's so many joints. I don't think you could do that with the weight of that, and especially with the weight of his BFG sitting out front. Plus, once you get up this size of toy, having a solid base, I think, is preferential to being 10 to 20% smaller, so that it's light enough that you can have that, and you can get a better engineering part count out of a similar price point. Because I think if this was smaller as a retail item for $80 to have hips and knees in there, it would not deal. I think you'd come across that, you know, kind of the other side of the third party thing, like what we were talking about earlier, where the price to size thing feels off.
Yeah,
for $80 or for, you know, $70, or, you know, I hate saying it this way, but hopefully it goes on clearance so that people can get this for an even lower price at retail and really enjoy this toy, because it's pretty friggin' cool.
Well, let me put it out there. In Canada, this thing retails for $100 plus tax, which will come to just over $110. Don't pay that for it. You're going to be disappointed. Even if you love the idea of this as much as I do, that will be disappointing. At $70, I feel just happy with it. Like, it feels like it hit the sweet spot. But if you can ever get this thing for like $50 or even $40, just by all means, just for the sheer size of it and the ideal of it. Spend the amount of money you were going to spend on one and buy two of them. Like, if you need articulation in your combined mode, then by all means, this will probably disappoint you. But it's just the ideal of this figure, to me, really works, especially with the wings out and the gun down and those halo blades up. And the big part of it is that the place where I draw the difference between this and Supreme Devastator is that this feels like it successfully carried out its ideal, while Supreme Devastator feels like it did not successfully carry out its ideal.
Devastator should have been about half the size that he is.
Yeah, and Supreme Devastator, for all his size is a detriment, almost, in that having messed with the one that GM Fan was given at TFCon, the bastard, I can totally see a lot of problems with that thing that I hadn't identified until I had it in hand. Like, the fact that there are gimmicks on it that can rip the connection points apart while you're messing with it. Like that head gimmick. I had no idea that working the head gimmick could actually just pull the cement mixer off of the body. I was like, what?
Yeah. If you didn't have the cement mixer locked in hard the way that I had to the second or third time messing around with that for you guys.
I was really kind of bummed.
Just flails apart.
Ultimate Prime, when you lock him into this armor, like, I am shaking him with his wings splayed out. He will not come out of this. He is a solid display piece.
Because the armor is a stand in and of itself.
Yeah.
And so he's like sitting in a piece that clips on.
He's clipped, in his bolted
groinal
in
area.
Yeah, his crotch and his spine bolt into the armor itself. And
then it's also his feet. You flatten his feet, you push those back against, and then he also has ab panels that cover up
and clip
fill
in
out his chest and clip
into his abs.
His hands have pegs that he's holding into out in his power arms, so he's in there as solidly as it could get, short of, you know, having it be a completely different toy.
Yeah, he, you know, as far as being the large toy that is not too poseable but is imposing, he actually succeeds at it in many ways. And I think that is, if one's going to ask what's the difference between this and that big Devastator thing, that is the difference, that this actually succeeds at what it set out to do.
Yeah.
In far more ways than Devastator did. And I say that only now, having actually finally messed with Devastator and just finding out what a bummer that toy actually kind of was. I was kind of into the Devastator, but I just, you know, now I see why people waited for clearance. Like, if I was handed Devastator like Chris was, I'd probably be okay with it. But I lost my will to try to actually find Devastator for money after that experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Omegas, I know you've got Devastator. You're sticking up for him too.
I got mine for Christmas, but you know, I can see why it costs as much as it does. As a Transformer collector, it's a disappointment. But
yeah, and I mean, you see the same money to parts count in Ultimate Prime. It's just that Ultimate Prime, like, I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it just feels like Ultimate Prime succeeds at being a large display piece.
Yes.
More so than Devastator did. Which, and by all means, when I say display piece, that's what I mean. Like, he is primarily a display piece, and if you don't want that, you're not going to want this toy. And
that's shortly after we're done with the podcast here. He's going to get stickered up, maybe transformed once or twice, and then found a very good spot for display.
Yeah.
For imposing.
But I mean, with his wingspan out, he is as imposing as they say. And then, like, you put the gun on him, he gets this like aiming helmet. Pial has a video up of a mod if you want to make the helmet separate. But I actually kind of prefer the way he looks without it on until the gun's like in front of him. And once you get this guy out with his gun in front of him, like all pegged into his giant gauntlet hands. And if there is one problem, it's that I kind of wish there was a clip on his arm, because I find often I'm messing with him, and then halfway through posing him, I realize that his inner robot arms have actually disconnected a long time ago and are kind of just floating around.
Oh, she's taking a break. That way the big arms have it locked in and you can scratch yourself.
But once you plug that cannon in, it is really imposing.
It's almost like movie one Megatron.
Yeah. Like the way he's got
the
gun out.
His gun that, you know, he slapped his arms together to get the big cannon. It kind of looks like that because the plastic of the arms is the same as the plastic of the guns. It all looks like it kind of flows together.
And then just to make it more ludicrous, his wings are covered in 3mm clip points as well as a couple of mech tech ports.
Yeah.
And I mean covered. They are covered in them.
One, two, three.
There's at least
three on each major wing.
Yes, there's 12 of them on his wings. And I suspect they're also on his shoulder pads. That's leaving
the inside
out
of his arms.
There's also four mech tech points on his wings as well.
On the guns, on the plastic bits that expand out on his gun, on the front of it, there's a couple of
there is
millimeter pegs.
And there's mech tech ports on the sides too. There's four mech tech ports on his already giant gun, along with two clip points. Okay, anyway, what I'm trying to say is, if you want to make this Prime look stupidly heavily armed, he is designed entirely for that. I would almost say you can even make a small comparison to how Armada Megatron was the one who was designed to have every Minicon sticking off of him, except that in this case, it looks like weapons are sticking off of Prime and not small cars and farming vehicles. This
is definitely the Hellmurder Prime.
Yeah, and here's the final thing. And this really is one that, you know, Random Factor and I think factor into, is if you really love the idea of Movie Prime being insane, this is the ultimate realization of it. This is like,
for sure,
this is the teenage Michael Bay sitting in his bed, just viciously stroking his crotch, thinking about this giant death machine. It's the best way I can describe it. And I have fallen in love with the idea of how insane Movie Prime is in a way that feels still, on the filmmaker end, somewhat unintentional. And this toy feels like it was made by a toy designer who is in line with my line of thinking. It really is. I think it's because he has six wings and it starts pulling in this like demonic imagery, or angelic imagery even. Like,
yeah.
There's just something about it. It's so crazy that, again, that's another thing it does over Devastator. Devastator pulled off, it's the vehicles who turn into Devastator. They combine together. But this feels like it's a big toy, and in its very imagery, it is insane. And that's why I kind of like this. But that's also why I say there are so many valid reasons to not like this toy that, you know, by all means, do not feel like we're telling you should buy this right now. But
really, you should buy this right now.
Yeah, of course, I like it when you spend money because we tell you to, but, you know, if you do feel that weird, like, even if you don't want this, but you feel that weird inkling that someday you want to pick it up because it's so nuts, I can tell you, it is that nuts, and you'll probably have fun with it whenever you do pick it up. If you're some kind of square who doesn't see the beauty of destruction and the masturbatory glory of the bloodlust that this thing evokes, then by all means, you will not enjoy it. And one last little thing, when I mentioned this thing could even have knee joints, that's because for a second I thought it did, because they're sculpted in on the back of the legs. He actually has knee joints, like ratcheting knee joints sculpt, but
oh, yeah.
Not actual knee joints on the back. And if, I'm just trying to think, if there's any other like flaws with objective flaws with this, it would just probably be that for how big and solid it is surprising how easy it is to pull the wings off while transforming it. And when you're transforming the armor back into a trailer, get ready to hear these noises many times. Because there's two buttons that, in Random Factor's case, you won't, like, if you have the same experience he did, you won't actually know those are buttons that set off sounds until you try to plug the gun onto the bottom of the trailer. Because, the gun plugs into the bottom of the trailer with no less than, I believe, six major friction points, which is great. But it is also, if you're not used to it, and you know, if you want a comparison, remember the first time you transformed Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime and you got to hear him tell you who he was over and over again.
Yeah,
it's one of those sort of experiences. But
so what I just realized here, and all my fighting, I removed the weapon from Prime because I thought I'd like to take a look at him without the weapon on there. He can actually fold back on his helmet, and then he has two notches in the what would be the front of the trailer that the gun pivots and flips over and locks into. But, so then you just kind of fold the halo blades down, and you can have a kind of calmer Hell Murder Prime.
That's how I display him on my shelf.
Before he really wants to really go crazy.
On my little dresser shelf here in Toronto, I have him displayed like that. Yeah, the gun has, like, when you fold the gun back, it doesn't just hang back there, it actually clips in to his back. Yeah. And the halo joints, they're on ball joints, the halo blades. See, and if you fold his wings down like a cape, you can have everything folded down, and it just looks like Optimus Prime wearing this enormous, like, battle cloak.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really like this toy, and I also cannot defend it if you don't like it. So
yeah, it's totally something where it has its place, and if you have a place for that place, then it's worth it. But if you think, wow, really, a really stupid big toy, I can understand. Yes, it's a stupid big toy.
Yeah. And it's, if there's one thing I wish it did better, you know, aside from somewhat unrealistic wishes of more leg articulation, I wish that Optimus Prime's shoulder panel things didn't feel like they were forgotten in the engineering process, because they do feel a little bit like they're always just floating there.
Yeah,
which isn't kind of a bummer.
I don't know what you could do.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the gas tanks at least folded in or something. Like, or that there were.
Well, that gives you two more mech tech points, though.
That's true. You know,
look at it that way.
And two more clip system points.
That's a long clip area. You could probably get, if you want to get creative with that, you could have one clip high and one clip. Oh, crud! I didn't even realize. Okay, so look at the back of his arm.
Yeah,
there's another mech tech port there.
Oh, there is.
That's in front of his wheel.
So also, if you like Dark of the Moon toys but don't like mech tech, this is a perfect place to put every mech tech weapon.
Yes.
Including the repaints, and then the couple that your friends gave you, because they didn't want them at all. Anyway, we should move along because
it's going to be an odyssey of discovery for a while.
Yeah, and me and Aaron are possibly the only people who will own this toy on this podcast for a very long time. So
we win.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't dominate, though. It's time for me to step back, because I already had this discussion, but Aaron and Omegas, you both got your Transformers Club sideburns.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I did not get the newest episode from last week edited before this one, so they don't know that Gog and Seth did not have all that good a time with their sideburns. To summarize, Gog is conceptually was kind of okay with how those facial paint apps are done, but his were done horribly. Seth had slightly had better ones. They looked okay, but conceptually, Seth does not like the idea of how those facial paint apps work. So it was kind of this lose-lose for the poor toy. I don't have mine yet to date, so I only really can speak on other people's experiences. But Aaron, Omegas, start off with Omegas. How did your sideburn go?
Well, it seems to be a running trend. When there is a common problem with a figure, I will inevitably avoid it, only to hit right into an even worse one.
Oh, no.
In fact, the last time it was actually with the exact same mold, the Battle in Space Pack, where everyone had a Rodimus where the arm kept falling off. Mine was fine. Like, I avoided that. But my Cyclonus had a busted ball socket on one of his legs.
Oh, man.
So I get my sideburn in the mail, and I actually sit the camera down, light up my table, and open this thing on camera. Because I've heard so many reports of bent or broken tail fins, you know, messed up paint on either the legs or more likely the face. So I'm opening it. I got the whole thing out, transformed it on camera, and it looked okay. I mean, there wasn't really any bad oversprays. I like the concept they went with the head and the paint applications there. And even the attempt to paint a fake visor over one eye.
I should specify it was the fake visor that Seth was conceptually just not into.
That actually kind of worked on mine. It's a little oversprayed on his eyebrow, but fine. But it was the nicest example of the paint job that I had seen from any photos of anyone else's that had popped up at the time. So I shut the camera off, thinking, awesome, I got lucky, start trying to goof with him a little bit more. The left elbow is completely destroyed.
What, like the pin joint?
The pin joint. It was misfired diagonally, so instead of getting the hole on the outside of the elbow, it grinds into the plastic and bursts through the front of the arm.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's new. Oh, wow. Did you contact the club to get a replacement?
I contacted the club. I sent the picture. They're going to replace it.
Excellent.
As soon as I can get a box, it'll... The thing will go in.
I can only imagine the shift from yeah to oh, like that must have happened.
Yeah, because I was so hyped up. I really like the concept of this one, really do. Especially having Skybite from BotCon 10. That I was looking forward to having both of these, you know, my two favorites from RID side by side, and these molds that I really like. Ah,
man!
Jeez!
the diagonal pin thing is something that the only time I've seen it was on someone else's Masterpiece Starscream, the original Masterpiece Starscream, and that there was a problem where the pin in the shoulder was put in such a way that your first transformation would actually start grinding it through the joint and misalign the joint. So that's not good. But at least they're gonna replace it. So.
Yeah,
and as I've always said, props to the club for covering this stuff. You know, for not saying, "Oh, your toy's broken. Too bad." You know that they cover this stuff. It's just a bummer that it does involve having to send something back and then wait for it to come. And it's very bad for the internationals because you have to wait for it to come over the border, then potentially send it back over the border, etc. etc.
The only thing that really upsets me about having to send it back, you know, aside from my now air quote free toy, now is going to cost me $4 to ship.
Oh dear!
Oh no! What annoys me is that I can't just have them send me a replacement left arm.
Oh,
like they
because
can't...
you got a good head.
I got a good head.
So you might end up with like Gog's
yeah.
head.
I have to roll the dice again.
And did you like? And there's no way you can get them to just send you.
I asked them. Like, you're getting so many bad ones back. Can you send me a cannibalized left arm? That's okay. No, send it back because they need it in hand to, you know, actually have the confirmed damage.
And you can't just send the arm back.
No,
I
have to send the
man.
No,
because okay, that's where I mean. I understand why they wouldn't want to go through that trouble, but at the same time, I will say, BOJ, the Bandai of Japan, when you have a busted part, they actually operate in components. When I had a busted arm on my autovagin, the Kiwami Tamashi one, they just sent replacement arms out. And yeah, it's a bummer when, oh man, because that head is such a coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
Take so many pictures of it. Just take so many pictures of it before you send it back.
This is what it's supposed to look like. I swear this was how it's supposed to be.
Maybe you'll look. I mean, the statistic was... Hey, Aaron, what's up? The statistic was laid down that 95% to 98% of them were good. So maybe you'll stay in that 95% to 98% of good paint apps.
Why did you say that? Because I was going to stay away from that bit of my whole discussion on this.
Because we were joking about it constantly last time. Yeah, so that's a bummer. That's a big bummer. I hope that you are lucky with your head replacement. I hope that you aren't lucky, because to be lucky would be getting to the 2% who would get a bad head back. So I hope that you get the proper head that most everyone would have gotten from that toy.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, Aaron?
Hi.
That's a bummer. That is such a bummer. Anyway, going over to you, Aaron, how did your sideburn turn out? Statistically,
I'm one of those supposed 2% complainers, not of, my problems were all able to be fixed by me.
Okay.
I had, for the scouter eye, I had quite a bit of paint that rode up on the eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's no other paint app there, so I was able to take an X-Acto knife and kind of scrape it back a bit. Same with his right leg. The white paint app on that had a ton of overpaint, where it was globbed majorly, and I was actually able to use the line of the shin bit, cut down that, and then flaked it sideways and popped a chunk of paint off. Mm. It was gobbed up that high. And then what's the arm with the saw? The left arm had a very loose elbow. I don't know, now I'm kind of afraid it might be a badly fired pen that's doing something to mess it up, but it's just, in my working with it, it just seems like that is a little bit looser than the others, so that arm just points down.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that's a critical issue, it just... The soapboxy bit that got me was the denial that there were widespread problems, when the majority of the tweets that I was seeing was people saying, hey, we got messed up over paint. And
well, you know, the problems, maybe they aren't all that widespread. I mean, they only affected you and Gog Dog and Seth, which is about 50% of the podcast team. But then again, we're only 7 people total. So.
Yeah, well, it also affected TJ there. That's what he was talking about.
So that's a, well, so, no, he got lucky on the paint. I'm just talking about the paint.
Well, no, I'm talking about overall toy quality. That's 4 of 4 with issue. But
that is true. That 4 out of the 4 podcasters who have already got it have had a major issue.
So 100% of WTF at TFW have had issue.
Well, that just means that we can be proud that we now represent 2% of the fandom.
Yeah. Sure, that's moving on up.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think part of it is rough because they chose a character with asymmetric face.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they did the pain apps conceptually is very interesting. However, there's not a whole lot of tolerance for it to be off just a touch.
Yeah.
For the way that the scouter eye was painted, and then especially when you have a little bit of yellow paint here, but yellow paint on the other eyebrow ridge thing, it just leads off with the potential to look like there's problems, and then you start super analyzing the paint, whereas if they had gone kind of their own way with it, I don't think it would have been as much an issue. I think that having both of his eyebrows in yellow or a yellow and a something else, you could have still kept to the kind of character quality from RID and made less a target of yourself, but probably a lot of that's hindsight.
Now that it's come up, I'll slightly repeat myself from last week and say that, you know, conceptually, I dig it. You want to do the cannonball trick. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. The cannonball trick partly worked because that toy's face is a giant flat surface right. In the spot where you're doing it. This toy's face is not. It's a multi-leveled, deeply, deeply ridged surface. And this isn't not just, you know, painting a square on an eye. You're painting an angular rectangle over an eye. This is something that should not have been done in a factory. This should have been done by hand someone who's good at it. And unfortunately, that's not really a reality that we can enter into with mass-produced club toys. But it's, I think, looking at it now, I'm like, I am not surprised that there are so many paint errors because it's being done in the factory. And at the end of the day, the factory is much better at stuff that is not this is something that to me would be advanced even for a customizer to do, to try to paint that. Like, conceptually it's simple, but in practice it needs to be done in a very certain way. And it's also yellow paint being put on over dark blue plastic, which is extra world of trouble.
Which is what I think the problem with the white was on my shins, was the fact that putting a normal layer of white, you're only going to get, you know, you're going to have a whole lot of bleed through the plastic underneath it. So you have to put a lot on there, and it gobbed and moved. And, you know, like I said, I was able to take it off easily, so it's not like I'm looking for replacement parts, but it was still just like, really? You know, it feels like it's a super idea, and I like the idea, and I like the toy. It just seems like there are a few things that they may have been a ways into it, and then we're looking at production side stuff. I'm like, ooh, that may not work. Well, let's just give it two paints and hope. Because I don't think that you would see white paint on dark blue out of a Hasbro mainline product.
Well, the only thing I'm really hoping for now is that I'll break the chain and get the good one out of the bunch of us. And then, because you know what the biggest bummer would be is if we all end up with bad ones. That would be such a bummer. Because then it would, you know, I'm not trying to make this toy look like it turned out badly, but it is unfortunate that we have a regular cast of speakers, and so far they have all had a major problem with the toy.
Think of the statistical impossibility we're executing so far.
Yeah.
Speaking as 2% of the fandom, yes.
Yes.
I really can't let that one go because I thought that was so funny. I was like, it was like that somehow awakened the demon within Aaron on Twitter. He was like, statistics?
No, I don't mind real statistics, but when somebody pulls numbers out of their backside, and it's, you know, if you're going to represent yourself. I think as I put it on there, I don't like statistics pulled out of nowhere in PR speak with the spin cycle.
99% of our listeners agree.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 87% of the time that just makes me rage. And the other 13% of the time, I don't know what.
But specifically 13% of the time.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess just, that's our... Are good.
Say that many of them are good, or most of them are good. Not
the vast
98%. Majority. Yeah.
You know, word spin it. Don't come up with numbers, because that indicates facts you obviously do not have.
Right. And that, and my other point of contention on Twitter to really drag this out, was lack of proof is not proof of lack. Mm-hmm. Just because people haven't complained about it doesn't mean that there's a problem. You know, not everybody has a podcast that they can come and talk about it on, or
Twitter.
Even on Twitter. I mean, how many members of the club are at this point, 10-year-old kids that are like, "Woo, free toy, awesome! Okay, paint's kind of weird. Whatever!
Yeah.
Toy, woo!" Not people that are way too far into this robot toy crap and sit there and pull out a magnifying glass and analyze the paint scheme and how it slipped over the eyebrow as I'm rolling eyes at myself.
You know, I mean, we have a few podcasters left to get theirs, and we'll find out, you know, what happens to me and Lupus. But I hope that we can break the chain, because I want this toy to have turned out well and not to have turned out as something that we go like, "Oh, well, I'm glad that's over with." Because this was the first free club toy to really get a majority of people that I talked to excited, as opposed to previous free club toys, which generally had a lot of people I know kind of go like, "Yeah, it's a free toy." Like Dion. Poor Dion. Remember Dion?
Talk about Dion.
Anyway, that's our club toy watch for now. We'll figure out what happens with Sideburn once I get him. I really hope I luck out, because even when I have the tools to fix something like paint screw-ups, when it's a short-run toy like that, it always kind of bugs me. And so especially when it's yellow on blue.
Then the question is, are we going to get the armor upset for this one, too?
I hope so. That would be funny.
I'm waiting for it to show up on the Shadow Scythe armor, because I think that would actually look really good.
I'll give it a try once I get mine.
All right.
Seeing how the guy who goes in that armor, I broke his head off, apparently. So that's our Sideburn watch. Let's talk about some other Transformers we got this week. I'm going to cut in and talk about Transformers I got this week.
All right.
I got some on sale, and I got one at a diamond distributor price. Ooh. Yeah, not very good. The ones I got on sale are ones that a couple of people, primarily Hoopla, have been really pushing, saying that I should give them a chance. And the last time I did this, it turned out well. That's when a lot of people told me to give Deluxe, Ratchet, and Starscream a chance. And I actually like those two toys, so that turned out well. So I picked up on sale, because in Canada we have a Toys R Us sale going on, 30% off. I picked up Deluxe, Jolt, and Sideswipe from Dark of the Moon. I'll talk about Jolt first, because he's a toy I'm sure a lot of people don't have, because a lot of people don't give a flying rat's spinal cord about Jolt anymore. He's actually okay. His car mode is very solid. His robot mode is almost good. The problem is that there are a major couple of points that don't actually lock in place outside of the friction of their hinges. The main ones being his arms. His arms rotate around using part of the door panels, and then they fold over the rear tires. And then they don't actually clip onto... If they clipped onto the rear tires, if they pegged onto them somehow, it would be perfect. But they don't, which means it's really easy to just start unfolding that panel again when you move his arms. And less egregiously, his head flips around on this panel connected to his neck joint and sits over the rear bumper, and that also does not clip in anywhere. It just kind of sits there using friction. So those two parts are kind of a bummer. The transformation's okay. The car mode's very solid, and I'm okay with the legs, actually. The legs are very G1-y in a way. They're very much like the Fairlady Z, the Prowl smokescreen transformation. And there's some cool bits in there, like you flip the front tires around so that they look like they're just the axles, because it looks like the tires somehow become his kneecaps, which is kind of funny. There's a major problem with mine, though, which is that he's got those spring-loaded Mech-Tech point doors on his roof, and the problem is that the springs they're on get severely stressed during transformation, and basically after transforming him once, the spring became completely misaligned on one of them, and I can't fix it, so he has a Mech-Tech door that just kind of falls down into the cavity beneath it whenever gravity pulls on it, so I gotta glue that back into place. And basically make it a non-functioning Mech-Tech point. So those were designed a little poorly, I think, unless I just had a horrible luck. And I spent about an hour trying to realign the spring-loaded mechanism, and I think that just something is bent out of place in there, and it's held in place with a pin, and unfortunately I still don't know how to dislodge pins very easily. So on the bright side, it's a roof-mounted Mech-Tech point, and there are two of them, and one still works, so I'm okay with just gluing the other one shut. But otherwise, he's as a Jolt toy, he's actually okay. I think he's quite a bit better than the Revenge of the Fallen one. in that he has far more posability going on and an actual neck joint. He lacks his whips, which is a bummer, but he has, instead of his whips, he has these fold-out panels on his forearms that have a 3mm clip point revealed beneath them. So if anyone ever makes whips that have clip point system things, you can clip them on there. And his mech-tech gun is neat because it's like a gun, and then when you pull the switch, it just becomes a longer gun. But it does so in a very complicated way. So Deluxe Jolt's a toy where it's like, I don't think he's awful, but, you know, don't spend retail price on him. Get him on sale if you even want him. And if you don't want him, that's fine, because he's also a Jolt toy. And there's not a whole lot about him that is amazing, but I don't mind having him around as another car transformer. So that was okay. It wasn't what I got out of picking up Ratchet and Starscream, though. So I'm glad he was on sale. Deluxe Sideswipe actually is a really cool toy. He does a lot of things really well. The problem is he has a few construction problems. Number one being his car mode tabs together in many places, and despite, like, I had to check like 3 or 4 different tab places individually. They all seem to work on their own, but when they work in tandem, something gets misaligned and I can never get his car mode, the left side of his car mode, to panel up properly. I've been slowly grinding away a certain tab that I think is the culprit, but that's kind of a bummer. Also, his front hood is on this, like, double joint to fold away, and it holds on entirely with friction, and there's not enough friction, so often it just falls off. If you do the floor polish trick, that'll fix it for sure. If you apply a coat of paint on it, it'll probably do it, but it's a bummer that it's so floppy out of the box. Also, his car mode has no floor. I don't really mind that. I think it's funny, but that does bug a lot of people. His robot mode, though, it grew on me. At first, I was like, oh, man, this is completely waste of my time. But, you know, I messed with it more and more, and I found that as far as a Sideswipe movie design toy goes, he seems to be a little bit more poseable than I'm used to out of them. And even though his backpack is quite multi-layered for a version of this toy that has no roof, it can fold up pretty compactly when you play around with it a little bit. And I'm kind of okay with this figure. Again, it's another one where I would totally tell you don't spend retail on him. And I really hope that when Darksteel comes out, it fixes a lot of the alignment problems I'm having with this figure. Kind of like how Space Case fixed the shoulder problem that that Terra Dive had. Right. But, you know, it's the only other real major bad point about it is that it's almost entirely unpainted in vehicle mode. So I'm going to give it its own coat of silver paint sometime after I shoot a quick video of it unpainted. Also, it totally has a Stealth Force mode. There's these mysterious, like, tab holes on the underside of his front bumper that are not used for anything until you start to rotate his arms forward, and then they actually peg into there slightly. And it looks kind of like the Stealth Force mode he had in the movie when his front wheels kind of extended outwards. So it is there, and that's kind of cool that they worked that in. But, Sideswipe is okay. His mech-tech weapon turns into a sword and doesn't lock in place, which means it's kind of unfortunate. But as a toy, I'm more okay with him than I thought I'd be. He, again, like Jolt, he is not as much of a wow, this is actually kind of cool, as I got out of Ratchet and Starscream. I'd still say Jolt and Sideswipe are possibly the lowest tier deluxes I've messed with so far, having not picked up either of the new versions of the twins. But they are better than I expected. And if you're going to pick one, Sideswipe is actually pretty decent. And if you don't have a movie Sideswipe yet, he's not a bad choice. It's just that you're going to wish he was painted more. If you get him as Darksteel, it probably will be satisfying to a degree. Have either of you guys picked up these deluxes, or am I the only one who actually did it?
You're it.
I had a feeling.
Just you.
I had a feeling I was the only one. I picked up one other Transformer. Two others. One of them was Fireburst Optimus Prime, who was also on sale. That toy is cool. But I've never messed with that Voyager Prime mold before, and that thing has gigantic legs. Like, his heels extend back by, like, a full inch of thickness on his shins. It's kind of funny. And he has monkey arms, which kind of bugs me. He can fix it up, but then you have the front wheel, like, sticking right into his pelvis, and it's odd, but I like him because he looks like a really angry demonic Prime, which is an effect you don't entirely see until you put him in vehicle mode, and then when you shine lights behind his head. So I kind of enjoy that figure. And then paying the Diamond distributor price, because I saw it at a comic shop, and I was so excited to pick this toy up, I bought Human Alliance Drag Strip because I, like many others, thought this would be a great Human Alliance toy. It's like Wave 3, you know, the technology's going to be all balanced out, and it looks like Drag Strip, and he turns into a unique weapon. He's got a great-looking car mode. The vehicle mode looks. Yeah, I just said it looks great, but don't judge me. His robot mode, it's got to be all right. So I pick him up. His car mode is great, except that he has these two clip system blades that have nowhere to go. Really? Like you can stick him on the car mode, you can stick him on the front, but then he's an F1 car with gigantic blades on the front, which is okay, but there's nowhere to stealthily store them, which is kind of a bummer, because if the clearance had been made underneath the car, you could actually store them as an extension of the floor of the car mode, but they bump into the wheels, so you can't really do that. His weapon mode is actually not a shield, he just turns into a giant blade with a handle. Which is kind of cool, but it's also a little bit tricky to figure out a way for him to be held by a toy and look good. So his weapon mode's okay. And I will say, his driver figure is neat, because it's Master Disaster. And I think this is the first official toy we've gotten of an animated human villain character. Because it's literally the F1 driver Human Alliance toy done entirely in smoky, translucent black plastic. So it actually looks like a hologram. Like, I didn't know it was translucent until I held it up, and I was like, I can see through this thing. So it looks like the ghost of Master Disaster, which is kind of neat. But then the robot mode happens, and it's just disappointing. I've been trying for the last 2 days to have this figure grow on me, because I desperately want to like this figure. Because I love Dragstrip a lot, and I have a lot of Dragstrip toys, and it's an F1 car, it's Human Alliance basic, but There are two major, just outright failures on this toy. Number one, when you transform him, the way you fold his arms down, there's these shoulder blocks, and one of them has the steering wheel attached with a mushroom clip. And there's a hole cut into one side of his stomach to allow that steering wheel to go into the side of his stomach and store there. The problem is that due to the tab that thing clips into on the side of his shoulder, it's almost impossible to transform him into robot mode without the steering wheel flying off. And then it is nigh impossible to transform him back into car mode without the steering wheel ripping off its joint and flying onto the floor as well. So the steering wheel is a massive hindrance that feels like it was kind of tacked on at the very end of the design phase, unfortunately. And then the other problem I have with him, and I admit this is a bit more of a personal one, is this guy has some gorilla-ass gorilla arm articulation, which is that his elbows only bend inwards, he has a bicep swivel but no wrist joint, and it's not like you can even kind of facsimile it to look like he's just got his palms up. He's got like an entire chunk of a car hanging off the side of his forearm, so if you swivel the elbow to bend forward, he now has it hanging off the bottom of his forearm, and it really sticks out, and it's really unpleasant, and I really want to like this figure, but I found him massively disappointing, doubly so because I paid well over retail for him because I paid a comic shop price for him. So I paid like an extra $5. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I really want to get this guy. So this was a supreme disappointment. I feel really bad saying it because I like a lot about him, but he's just crippled by these little things that I really don't like. And it's a bummer. I hope that other people get him, and I hope they enjoy him more than I did. But it might have been the circumstances of how much extra I spent on him, but I just don't really enjoy him. I like his car mode a lot, and I like his vehicle mode, his robot mode when it's standing still, but the moment you try posing him, it just kind of stops working. And you can, the final kind of clincher on this is he's got these clip system blades, like these banana blades, and he's got clip points underneath his hands so he can clip them onto his wrists, but the clips don't have enough friction to hold themselves in place, so they often just hang down, like, you know, they hang loosely off the clip if you have his arms held up. Yeah. So, it's just this constant series of bummers. Yeah. So, I feel really bad saying that I had such a bad time with this, because I know that, you know, myself and many others who like the Human Alliance basics, we're kind of looking forward to this guy as like, oh, this guy's going to do it. You know, he's going to be Wave 3. He's Dragstrip. It's the return of Spastic. And, you know, the Power Core thing carrying over. And it just didn't work for me.
Went Spastic.
Huh?
And it went Spastic.
Oh, you shouldn't say that word. That's offensive. I mean, I hope someone gets this and says that they liked it more than I did, because this is the kind of toy I look at where I'm sure someone will really enjoy it. It's just that I really thought that someone would be me, and it wasn't. Anyway, that's me rambling a whole lot about Transformers I got for a really long time. I feel bad that I went first there. Omegas, did you get any other Transformers?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Well, tell us about
them. Yeah, I kind of went to play catch-up.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, on the Cyberverse side, I scored Hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
He's far more fun than I ever assumed he would be.
I found two Hatchets at a Walmart yesterday when I was Rodimus hunting with Chris, GM fan, and I actually pulled them out of the back of the pegs where they were, and I put them both right on the front of one peg just so that people would find them.
Good man.
That is a damn good toy. I like Hatchet a lot.
Oh, yeah. That is nice. That's kind of made me remember that the animalistic style Transformers can still work when done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am much enjoying him. See, also on the Cyberverse end, I picked up Power Glide.
Oh, you hadn't got him yet?
No. I had been putting off all of the Cyberverse stuff.
Oh, welcome to the train. You picked up two of the best ones.
Yeah. Get a blackout for the trifecta?
No blackout. No.
We'll break him.
No, wasn't really interested in the blackout for some reason.
You will be.
I don't know. Power Glide just... I think hearing everyone else on Power Glide kind of overhyped him a little bit for me.
Oh, dear. That could happen.
Yeah, because I look at Hatch... I look at Hatchet, I look at Sentinel, I look at Megatron, and he is so much smaller than all of them. I mean, it really feels like I should not have paid that price for him, because I really don't see where it went.
Hmm. I don't have him handy, so I can't comment on the mass. I felt he was satisfying mostly for his surprising amount of poseability. That's what got me with Power Glide. I didn't expect that many joints.
Yeah, he's nice and jointed. I just wish he had a little bit more bulk to him. He doesn't feel as substantial as Hatchet does.
Well, Hatchet is enormous. And I would highly recommend you pick up Crowbar if you like Hatchet.
You keep recommending that one.
He's certainly not a fantastic toy. It's just he's a surprising one, given that he's a legend, basically. He's far more... he's not on the level of the Reveal the Shield Legends, but he's far closer to them than a lot of the other Cyberverse Legends are. And he goes with Hatchet really nicely. They're like buddies.
See, and finishing off the Cyberverse, I picked up the Optimus Prime with his trailer.
Oh, I got that from Jared.
This one is actually, it always makes me happy that now that we have a Prime with a trailer again.
All the gimmick toys are coming out.
Mm-hmm. This one kind of struck me as odd on a few different levels, though, because it's the same mold they use for the first Cyberverse Optimus,
mm-hmm.
for Wave 1, and and the subsequent repaint/remold they're doing. So, since he doesn't have a big wing or cannon pack, there's this big gap in the vehicle mode, and this lonely hinge that you could tell something is supposed to be here, except you just get this gap in the truck, which is a little off-putting. But I'm considerably happy with them. I mean, I was kind of weird, because I was doing my usual collector thing of, well, I don't need the instructions to transform this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I finished putting it the way the base mode was on the box, then open up the instructions and find out it is not even remotely the same base mode on the instructions and the box.
I had to bust out the instructions for those toys, because the trailer for that and Megatron, the way that the trailers transform is just abstract enough to where I was like, well, I can make it look like something, but I don't know if I'm making it look like the right something.
Right. No, but seriously, if all you're doing is looking at the box, open up the instructions. The base mode is way better. Because Prime doesn't have on the base mode on the package, he has to kneel down in order to actually hold on to the cannon.
Yeah.
does not befit the leader of the Autobots.
No.
I wanted to say before, and I want to say it now while it's recording. His battle scene that he's packed in is ridiculous.
I forget they what all it is. Are. No, Megatron's isn't ridiculous.
In its own way, it is.
He's taking it to the damn elephant like he was supposed to in the movie.
See, that makes sense, though, because he's actually there. Optimus's base scene is... It's the security room from Revenge of the Fallen, where the Allspark shard is. But yeah, they still have human soldiers in the shot.
Yeah, he's that's Jinrai. That's his transtector.
Jinrai was not 6 feet tall.
Could have been.
No.
Platform shoes.
Yeah, that one I think is kind of funny because it also implies by calling it a battle scene that Optimus Prime is battling the humans.
Right. It's a cool battle scene if you've got a Ravage that scale.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but
definitely.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
Well, do you have a Ravage?
I have Ravages.
Well, there you go. What are you complaining about? You're all set.
Technically, what I need is a Reed Man.
Well, we're hoping for that to come out of the fourth movie line, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Human Alliance.
Long-awaited character.
Long-awaited toy character, Reed Man.
The only mode that kind of disappoints me is the big super armor mode, which is incredibly brickish.
Yeah, it's kind of, it almost hits me in the same way that the Ultimate Prime one does, in that I wish it was more poseable, but I kind of like the way that things lock together.
Yeah. Yeah, it works, but you know, when you've got a whole trailer, I would like to see a little bit more combination going on. It's a weapons platform, but it works as one.
You should check out Megatron.
I forgot Megatron was coming out with a full trailer, cause you know, so now I'm gonna end up with a duplicate at some point.
It's all right, cause the small Megatron is a better toy. Megatron, you just need the trailer from the big one. And then you combine that to the small Megatron that you bought single, and you'll have the ultimate Megatron.
Mm-hmm. What I need is for that mold to come out with the Motormaster color scheme of the exclusive.
It could happen. It could happen.
Could happen.
But so that's your Cyberverse.
That's my Cyberverse. I wanted to ask you, is it just me that finds it like a little bit panic-inducing trying to get that top piece off in trailer mode?
Yeah, it's kind of in there solid, and well, I kind of wish you didn't have to remove it.
Well, it's the fact that they used a hinge to attach it. It's yeah. I feel like I have to force plastic in ways it shouldn't be forced.
You should play with Ultimate Optimus Prime's trailer. That'll show you how to man up and get muscled with the Transformer. That thing, you need to go like on some of the panels. It's kind of arousing.
Okay, sure it is.
True story.
Okay, moving on from the Cyberverse. Picking up deluxes, I grabbed Thundercracker.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad I waited on that one. I don't know what it is. Like, having the toy in my hand, I actually do really like the scheme of it. I think it's a very nice simplification of Starscream's design. It still gets everything without being, you know, 20 steps more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah, that one and Ratchet are great examples of complicated engineering but easy user implementation.
Right, right. It made me happy to see that because I've been, thanks to IDW, I've been very high on Thundercracker lately.
Oh, yes.
So that toy just appealed to me so much more. Once you take the old Starscream colors off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very nice toy. I wish it came with its original mech tech weapon because with chainsaws don't make a whole lot of sense.
Somehow they make less sense than a jet with a sword.
See, I don't know. Like, a sword, you can fly by and slash through something. A chainsaw requires torque.
We can fly by and slash them with a chainsaw just by take a few flybys.
High speed.
Yeah. If you fly fast enough with a chainsaw, you can make magic happen.
I meant the saw having a higher speed.
Oh, no, I just meant like throwing a chainsaw at someone at Mach 3. I understand you could just throw a pebble at someone at Mach 3 and you'd probably kill them, but...
Yeah, probably.
It's better if it's a chainsaw. Anyway.
Okay. Speaking of other toys that I spent way too long putting off, I now have Laserbeak.
I still don't.
What?
Well, the only place I've seen him was at a comic shop for $18.
Okay.
And I was like, I almost want to do this, but I think I can wait.
Okay. You're somewhat forgiving.
Not $18 worthy.
I didn't think he was.
He's fun in his own way. He's another one where don't trust the packaging. The guns work so much better under the wing than on top.
Yeah. Have you got his automorph to work? Because I broke that when I tried messing with someone's.
Automorph?
I meant mech tech. What, you heard something different? I said mech tech, obviously.
Mech tech works okay. Unfortunately, mine is off a little bit. So his machine gun is currently pointed forward, slightly to the right. It's one of those I hate when that happens. But I've gotten it to work fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I misaligned a gear on Seth's and just kind of gave it back to him half working. I was like, here, you fix it. And then I never checked with him to see if he fixed it.
Here. Done.
Here you go. Your toy's fine. Coolness. You're getting You're getting all Dark of the Mooned up.
I'm still going.
Oh, jeez.
Still going. I picked up Skyhammer.
Good man. Did you open up his propeller in robot mode and have him fly properly?
I have him running through Decepticons like that.
Excellent. Lawnmower style.
Uh-huh. I was not aware the blades had individual places to peg in robot mode. That made me happy.
That all locks together, yeah.
That was one of the video reviews I watched before I got a toy, just out of curiosity, and I saw that happened, and I was like, I need that toy now.
Yeah, that was the one worry I had about the toy. That just solidifies everything quite nicely.
Hell yeah. He's also, he's totally Ultra Magnus.
I'm always interested when they come up with a new helicopter transformer because it's such an odd vehicle to work with, because all you've got for bulk is the, you know, just that front section. You got so much, like, you know, the blades and the tail and the outer wings, if it's that kind of chopper, that you really only have to make bulk and parts from. So I always like seeing how it comes out. I like this one a lot better than their last attempt with Blazemaster.
Well, that's because Blazemaster forgot to figure out how his entire upper body works, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he had issues.
Yeah, lots of issues. We don't talk about Blazemaster anymore.
No, we don't. No, he makes an awesome attack chopper, though.
Yeah, until Tomahawk comes along. Tomahawk does it all better.
Let's see, what else did I get? The winner out of the Dark of the Moon stuff is Deluxe Prime.
Oh, you got the Walmart one?
Yep.
I like that toy. I didn't think I would, and then I got him because I was like, oh, I want to know what he's like, and his robot mode looks nice, and that vehicle mode's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. He's very clean.
Yeah.
I really didn't expect him to be able to pull off the chest without cheating. So it made me happy when not only does it not cheat, it includes an epic head reveal.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention way back, that same head reveal is on Ultimate Optimus Prime.
Ooh.
It's a spring-loaded head reveal.
But it is a great mold. It's a great, great little figure here. Very poseable. Mm-hmm. There's only two gripes I would actually have with the toy is A, his arms needed way more paint.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a bit of detailing there, but it just doesn't look like his arms without more red.
On the bright side, at least it's a light plastic color, so red applications are not impossible.
Right. And the one thing that actually really bugged me on this one is his mech tech weapon makes no sense.
I forgot what it is.
It's a blaster with a flip out axe.
Oh, it's the one that one of the twins has. Only it's got like orange paint on the axe. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't really lock in place, right?
Well, yeah.
None of the deluxes lock in place.
Yeah. If it locked in place, it would make sense. As this isn't even the axe flipping out to strike something. This is the axe slapping you with the broadside of it. Smack.
Well, he's the child-friendly version of Prime. He pops an axe to hit you with the blunt end, and then you go up to Fireburst, and he pops the axe, it locks in place, and he cuts you in half.
Challenge you to a duel, Smack.
Yeah.
No, it just, man, they need locking mechanisms. They all need locking mechanisms.
Yeah, I agree. Especially having messed with sideswipes. And I know there are ways to fudge a lock, but kind of wish that there was just a friction point or something.
Save your clear rubber bands.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but he's so far out of the Dark of the Moon line, he's probably my favorite, just because he's clean and efficient, but still looks very much like Movie Prime.
And he represents something that I think is kind of nice, which is the idea of back when the first movie happened and we had the very first leader-size movie Optimus Prime, we were like, this is the only way, because the Voyager Prime was a cool Prime toy, but it wasn't the Movie Prime at all, the first one. And so the first leader Prime was like, oh, this is the only way you could ever get this Prime to work. And now, you know, like 4 years later, they're able to get a decent Prime robot mode and vehicle mode, albeit with a large backpack, out of a deluxe, which I think is amazing.
We've come a long way.
Yeah. It's engineering-wise. You can tell they have made a lot of Optimus Primes in that design.
Oh, yeah. I'm hesitant to say they figured out all the tricks at this point, but, you know, I'm sure there's one or two more.
Oh, there's probably one or two more. They just couldn't budget in.
Oh, yeah. All that, too.
They hit the wall. But did you get any other Transformers?
One last one. Since we already discussed the... Yeah, that one.
Oh, Cyber.
I'll mention again. I just happened to get dragged to a Ross.
Oh!
The other day.
And did you buy some awesome clothes?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Some awesome Transformers hoodies?
No, I just got... No, a friend of mine just dragged me off on an errand. I had no idea I was going to a Ross of all places, and perfect one to drag me to because I now own the Solar Storm Grapple.
Oh, you found a Ross Grapple!
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the best way to find Grapple.
Mm-hmm. I had completely given up on finding the toy at all, so when I saw him, it was... Thank God this very empty store that day, because it would have been hideously embarrassing, me just jumping up and down in the toy section.
Grapple, grapple, grapple. Just imagine it now. Stars in your eyes. Finally seeing that yellow behemoth.
See, I even got to play good collector, because there is another grapple and a lug nut, so I scored. Okay, I know people looking for these. I will pick them up.
Excellent.
I still love that mold.
Oh, I do too. It's one of the best standalone Voyager packages to happen in a long time, I think.
Oh yeah, it's kind of weird seeing this one, because I knew they remolded things like the hands and the forearms. I didn't realize they molded out transformation steps too.
Oh yeah, that thing has way more retooling than anyone expected, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it does. Oh man! It was worth waiting for. That was a very happy surprise for me.
Would you say he is your favorite movie toy? Seeing how he's revealed the shield, which some people have argued is a movie subline.
Possibly.
Excellent.
Yeah. Forget what I said about Human Alliance, Bumblebee, and Revenge of the Fallen Prime. The must-have toy for the movie line, Grapple.
Excellent. Yeah, that was the thing I left out in that Q&A, was the fact that there are a lot of toys which are kind of technically movie toys, but aren't.
I don't even want to start on that tangent, man.
Yeah. By the way, if any of you ever say chugged my face, I'll leave that one alone, too. No, that sounds like you had a very good couple weeks of Transformers haulage. Many congrats.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I want to know about what other Transformers you got since TFCon.
Well, really, most of the stuff I bought before TFCon was to take to TFCon and sell at TFCon.
Yep.
So, stuff that I got for myself was at Toys R Us, and was surprised when I saw that they had the ARC playset. Because, again, this is about a month ago when those were just really first starting to show up, and at the time they had a buy one, get one half off of Transformer toys. So I went, well, heck, I can't just walk away with this when I could get something up to $30 for half off. So I picked up the Megatron Cyberverse big thing.
Oh, the trailer thing.
Yeah, the trailer thing. So picked that up, and kind of like Bumblebee's, his trailer does a whole lot of stuff. And it's a Megatron. The ARC was surprisingly cool, and I had the batteries in it just long enough to go, wow, I really hate those sounds. And
pulled
those back out. But it auto-morphs, so like when you pull the sides of the ARC apart, it flips up the center area.
And what does it do?
What does it do?
It does it when you transform it. It makes the old transforming noise. That's why you keep the batteries in.
Yeah, I don't need the old transforming noise that much.
Oh.
Like I said, it was like, okay, it's super noisy, and mine was really not quite as bad as that Ultimate Devastator, but pretty close to jostle it or move it, and it's making sounds. Probably has on par the number of mech tech ports as this Ultimate Prime has, along with quite a few 3mm peg areas, some smaller holes that look like they might have been 4mm, not 5, so... Just about any toy weapon that you want to plug onto this bad boy, you can. Plenty of places for your Cyberverse dudes to hang out. There's a little jail cell. There's what looks like it's supposed to be the pillars out of the movie. So you got a little transporter area. There's a push-button launch ramp thing. So he makes for a cool little... playset. You get the first real roller transformer that we've ever gotten.
Yeah, and I'll admit I kind of was hoping for a bit more out of that roller.
I was hoping for a lot more out of that roller.
Yeah.
But so that's cool. If you're into the playset stuff that Cyberverse tends to be playing up, it's a good pickup. For Megatron, his instructions were confusing as to how to make the jetpack mode look right. It didn't really show that you could take his turret thing off and put it in his hands.
I kind of like, though, the idea of it all just sitting there, though. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, I sat there for a while and tried to figure out how to make it clip onto his back and then have his turret in his hands the way that it shows so that he can have a gun that he's shooting. And it wasn't until the second or third time I messed with it that I realized that there's like a sliding clip where it's like a C-shape bit that will clip onto a tab, but it's recessed. So you can't see it, obviously, that, hey, this is supposed to pop off and go in his hands to make it look right. But beyond that, I don't know. It's been so long since I've messed with Megatron and I didn't bring him up here because I forgot about it, having gotten him.
That's all right.
Any good bits, but then after TFCon, I picked up a Autobot Whirl for the Human Alliance Basics. It's Whirl. We played with him some at BotCon.
Played with mine some at BotCon.
Yeah. I didn't quite realize how crazy his weapon mode was, and the fact that the pilot like flips over the controls and then stands on the back of his seat. I did not see the casemate with the minicon. I forget what the name of that one was off the top of my
head.
It's
the motor back junker dude. That dude, I think, is still my top tier standalone Human Alliance basic. He just does so much on his own.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that drag strips from the wave after that, how did this happen? Anyway.
Yeah, But so enjoyed Whirl and messed with Whirl in the presence of non-Transformer people that were like, well, that's kind of, oh, so that turns into a weapon. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Well, I can kind of understand that now. So that's my other task is since Prime here could easily hold those guys and be relatively scale, find a couple of good donors to really kit out Prime, because I don't think I'm going to display him with a massive gun.
Oh,
a lot of what makes Prime Prime.
I guess, but
all that stuff covered in the chest. Plus, this way you can have like the one gun up in the air and the one pointing forward. Charge!
I'll kill you.
I can't move because I have no joints below the shoulders. And then what else? Oh, also picked up today a Cyberfire Bumblebee.
Oh, good man! Everyone should own one of those.
Crazy glowing evil eyes.
Omegas, you have one more Dark of the Moon toy to get.
Oh, yeah. It's on my list.
Okay, good.
Good, because yeah, he. I'm pretty sure with those eyes, it has some sort of storage medium, because just the way that glows and the littlest bit of light, there's not that much light coming out of the moon, but yet his eyes are glowing as if they're ready to start shooting laser beams.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Fantastic.
But and that's really it for me in Transformers, because most of the stuff that I've bought has been at conventions, and we already talked about that.
Yeah. Well, we're already going pretty long, but let's quickly go through our off-topic stuff as well for completion's sake, because I got some cool off-topic stuff that I want to share. And since I can't use Skype chat, I'm going to tweet you both a link of the Glioses I got.
Okay. I saw that already. Already tweeted.
No, I just tweeted it now.
Did it again. Yeah. Well, I saw a picture that you had earlier.
Okay. My green men?
Yes.
Yeah, I got these.
The giant green man thing in the back of it?
Yeah, that's called the rig. This is my first rig. And it's basically, it's really cool. It's a four-piece vinyl vehicle. And it's designed in this really amazing way where just by swiveling the pieces and laying it down or standing it up, it constantly looks like it's a different array of vehicles or exosuits or mech walkers or tanks or jets. In this very, very 80s, like, shmup, NES shmup style, shoot 'em up game style. And what's really cool is the next one of these rigs they're going to do is going to, instead of having gun arms, it's going to have wing arms, which will make it look even more like something out of a shoot-em-up. Now, the whole style of these Glioses things, I was recently trying to explain it to someone. It's like they're kind of like NES characters who have come to life and stepped out of the screen and then formulated themselves into three-dimensional forms. So it's got this very retro, you know, simple shapes kind of aesthetic to it, which does not work for everybody, but for some reason it insanely jives with me, and I'm really liking these. Also, one cool thing about the rig is you can pull it in half at the waist, and then you can stick a little guy inside, and you can't tell there's a guy inside there, but you'll know there's a guy inside there, so you can give it a pilot basically if you really want to. And so this was from the non-convention San Diego Comic-Con drop, where basically the big thing they did at San Diego was they had August toys there that are going to be available this month anyway, and then they had a few of these green guys, but like a majority of the green dude's stock was put on the internet entirely for people who were not at the convention, which I think is a great way to do San Diego exclusive activities, is reward the people who couldn't go to the crazy thing. I actually kind of like that. So I'm digging these Glioses things still. I'm trying to figure out a good way to do a video about them. And I have no way of explaining to you why you might want to like these other than just saying, take a look at them and see if they jive with you. I also got to try building new arms for the rig, because the arm socket is, just big enough to work. You hear me pulling it off there?
Yeah, that sounded like opening a thermos or something.
It's just vinyl, so it's just like you just pull it out. The arm socket, it's solid too, but it's big enough to fit a certain piece that can connect to the rest of the Glioses figures' smaller connection points. It's actually those big bulbous feet on the guy on the far right, who I kind of made out of all the spare parts I had. Those can stick into the arm socket, and then you can basically start connecting the rig to the smaller figure pieces. So there's lots of room for just going crazy. It's kind of like Lego art toys. They're big and durable. This thing's made of vinyl, so you can just, you know, pull it in half and then stick it back together. And the small guys are a super durable PVC. You just pull them apart like that, stick them back together. I like this system a lot. And if you're an American, it's a very inexpensive system to try out because the figures can range anywhere from about $4 to $8 each. And in the States, I believe that Matt's flat rate shipping is $3. Whereas internationally, the flat rate shipping is $20. So whenever I want to buy some of these, I got to buy enough to warrant the shipping. It's fast shipping and it's tracked, but it's unfortunately the only option. Anyway, I'll stop talking about my Gliosis now. Because I believe I have convinced PR to try to buy some of these. So I have successfully caused someone to spend money on Glios. And my nasty, nasty little trolling, gleeful giggle has already happened. So, XD. Aaron, what non-Transformers stuff did you get? Oh, did I? Wait, I talked about my bad ball last week, so never mind. Never mind. I was. Oh, no, there was something else. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, whatever.
I got the LED powered Big Daddy toy that Nika did from BioShock and BioShock 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I found it for $20. Finally, found it for $20 because I did not want to spend $30 on it. And I turned on the LEDs. And in fact, they were already on, but there was a stopper in the battery thing. I pulled the stopper out, and I was almost blinded by this sudden green light emanating from the front of the toy. He's got a green, a yellow, and a red light, and the switch has four positions, which is off, and then those three positions. Solid, solid switch. Feels like it's right off of an actual piece of electronics, and the lights are so bright. It's really nice. The only problem with mine is I have to glue pieces together on him, because you're supposed to just shove these two tanks into his back, but one of them totally just falls out whenever I stick it in, so I got to glue it in when I get back to BC. And then one of his forearms kind of the forearms are glued in. Sorry, the biceps are glued in as separate pieces because there is full jointing on this guy. I thought they were all swivel joints, and I found out they're actually all universal joints. It's just that they're really tight. And unfortunately, the glue was not very tight on one of his biceps, and then the piece just kind of popped out. And it sticks back in, but the joints are so tough that it kind of just comes off whenever I try to pose his shoulder. So I got to super glue that back in, or maybe even epoxy glue it back in. I don't know. But it, for $20, it's a effing solid toy. I really like it. Gog was right. It's very good. And I'm trying like mad to find one of Nika's Isaac Clarke toys to go with it. BioShock and Dead Space are both fun games, but no luck so far. Anyway, Aaron, what's your off-topic stuff?
First and foremost was I managed to pick up a Nintendo 3DS. Right now, there's a bit of a crazy low spot where the price drop has happened and Nintendo introduced an ambassador program to all the people that bought their 3DS early so they'd get 20 free games in the end, 10 free NES games Game Boy Advance games.
The idea behind this was that this thing would happen right after the price, like this would run up until
the announced
a certain
price
date.
Drop was supposed to happen, I think, Friday or Saturday.
It was supposed to happen right after they turn off the ambassador program, but Walmart
said, well, screw that. You know, we'll drop the price a couple days early. And since then, every other retailer has as well because they all price match. So you're getting the cheaper price and that. I then swung by a disc replay place, which is your non-brand name video game movie, like a GameStop-y type place without the new, just the used, and picked up a Pokemon Black for $20, I think.
Oh.
To have something to play, because right now I'm in a kind of lull spot with my job where it's a whole lot of waiting.
Yeah.
And I figure something like that is a good on and off thing, especially since you can just shut the lid on it and put it to sleep. That way, if I have to just stop what I'm doing and go do something else, it's not like I'm super deep into something where I have to remember exactly where I was. I can just deal with it like that.
Yeah.
Now, if I recall, me and Lupus both picked up Pokemon White, so now Now we have Trading Buddy.
Okay.
I don't know what y'all are talking about with your Pokemans. I'm staying over here. I'm going to play with my rig. Check it out. It's going to go like that.
Congrats. So I've been told by everybody since I have a 3DS I need to buy Akinara of Time. Looking at it, I guess it has like a 98% attach rate, which means 98% of the people that buy a Nintendo 3DS also buy Oceanara of Time or Akinara of Time.
Ocarina.
Ocarina.
Ocarina of Time. Macarena of Time. Whatever. And those are actual statistics. I think it's actually 97.2 by number of units sold on each that are reported through a third party.
I heard it was 99.
That's not a reported number. Yeah.
99% of ocarinas are of time and are bought by those who have 3DSs.
There are a couple of them that are super cheap on Amazon.com, and I'm just waiting for paychecks to roll around because having a couple of conventions really close to each other tends to eat at funds. And
yes,
this was kind of a stupid, quick expenditure, but it needed to be done soon so that I could get into the ambassador program. And then afterwards, I'm like, well, crap, I don't have any money for games except for like the AR thing, and that only goes so far, and especially when you're sitting in a truck. But also picked up Figuarts Bugmans.
Excellent.
Yellow Bugman and a red Bugman and a floating hand.
So how do you like your floating hand?
The floating hand is very similar to the floating hand that I had before. It just has different hands to plug in the end of it.
Oh, better paint job, too.
Holding things. Yeah, better paint. Doesn't have the paint on the base, though.
Oh, really?
Where the one that came with Tatuba had
unk. I thought
painted
that they
on
would,
the base.
I thought that'd be a perfect time for them to correct that horrific and anglicization of the name.
Now, I'm pretty sure the box has unk on it, but it just doesn't have anything painted on the base. It does come with two very interesting things. So the base that it comes with is a standard model base thing that has an articulated arm to grab at the waist so you can have your dudes in cool poses. And it has three spots that you can put this articulated arm into. Well, it also comes with stacks of coins that will plug into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can fill those holes up rather than just with the blank peg that it also ships. You can fill it up with like a scene bit. So I have that and the hand holding the Takatora and Bata medals, like when Ankh grabs the medals before he throws them, like that.
Oh, cool.
La Torata seems to be about the best of them. The knees seem really good, which has been my issue with the O's figure arts. It's kind of shaky knees. Tajador, however you butcher that one.
Tajador.
The Taja spinner thing on the back of the arm is just weird because it has a special hand that has a special cut in it to hold that big piece on the back of the arm, and I never seem like I can get it all to line up well. But it's Figuarts. They're superposable, double knee, double elbow, double shoulder, really super hyperposable. We've talked about them a ton. It's just one's cat themed in yellow and another one's bird themed in red. Ta-da.
Hooray!
And that's it for my off topics.
All right. Omegas, bring us home. What's your off topicness?
Starting small and ending big. I picked up two more Ranger keys for my pirate phone.
Ooh.
Which I've dedicated myself. I'm getting just the reds and the ones that make special noises. So some sixth Rangers make special noise. And if you have a Gokai Silver, it confuses the hell out of the phone.
I like that they went to the point of programming in something to recognize those things just to go like on the vocal tone. It's
just
Gokaija.
Yeah, rather than have it say, "Oh, it's Gokai Silver," it's like it's Gokaija.
Well, I can't tell if it's that they didn't want to spoil anything or they didn't exactly pick which name they're going to go with for him until after the program was needed.
Yeah.
Either way, I thought it was funny. See, picked up a bunch of medals, too. I'm starting to kind of collect candy toy medals just because I need props and videos.
That's how it starts.
Well, I'll say this. I have if the box wasn't like a week late, thank you very much, SAL shipping, I'd have like 3 boxes of Candy Toy Medals right now. It's kind of there. It's weird having these core medals that are all plastic. I mean, they don't feel as substantial, but then again, I can toss them around and nothing's going to get scratched or chipped. So it's oddly freeing at the same time.
Now I can throw them at people.
Exactly. You can see if they can catch it in one swing of the hand. See, and keeping on that, I picked up it's been so long since I've been on the show now. Starting to lose track. I picked up the Toride Vendor.
Okay. Oh, that's a fun toy if you don't overpay on it.
I think mine was 50 shipped.
That's pretty good.
That's real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've got my vending machine, which more fun than it should be. And I've resisted the temptation to take a photo of Tato Ba straddling it.
But that's such an original idea that nobody has ever done.
I know, but, you know, I wanted to be different.
Oh, man.
It's kind of fun because I always end up calling it the Kamen Rider O's starter kit. Because you get the bike for all your action figures, you get your first Candroid, and you get your first medals.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an oversized bike, it's an oversized vending machine, but as an actual, like, playable toy, it's kind of a success, I think.
Oh, yeah. It does quite a bit for one of the bike toys.
The only problem is that it retailed for way too much. Its retail was far closer to $75. It's not worth that, but for 50, it's like, that's a cusp, but it's a fun piece of toy. It's like that Birth OCC set. It's like,
oh, yeah.
There's plenty of problems with it, but just as a pure toy, like as a pure toy package, it's quite fun.
Oh yeah, there's just both of them, because I've got both of those now, and they just have, there's a ton of variety there if you don't overpay for it.
Yeah.
But you know, it is fun. I love this lion tank bike thing that it all forms.
Yeah, whenever people say it's oversized, I'm like, I kind of go and like, you know, I know it's oversized, but it works oversized. When you have the lion head flipped out and it's like a four-wheeled ATV thing with blades everywhere shooting coins.
Oh, but it is fun. Let's see. And since I was going for Candroids, I ended up picking up Kujaku and Tricera or Torikera.
Tricera.
I know. I know. That's just how it's pronounced. It's the same word.
So... what do you think of the Kujaku peacock one?
I got that one dirt cheap, so I'm happy with it.
Good. You should never pay money for that.
I paid under 800 yen.
All right. I hate that toy. I like it, but I also hate it because it sucks.
Yeah. I can't bring myself to pay. Like, Candroids are fun, but they are just a little overpriced.
Yeah, and most of the time they do something which makes me feel okay about it, but like the peacock one actively irritated me when I got it. I was like, man, you really don't do anything.
I ended up buying Tricera at normal AmiAmi price, which is still good price, but they had for like 3 days they had Kujaku for like 777 yen.
Nice.
So the two balanced each other out. But I kind of like this. I mean, the transform is pathetic, but I kind of like the spinning gimmick.
It's all right. It's just that I felt like other ones did spinning better.
Tricera's one. I like the coin flicking, though. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how that thing holds together in Triceratops mode.
It's great. It turns inside out. I always pimp that one a little bit.
It turns inside out. I mean, there's a level of transformation to it that's really cool. But the part that just keeps getting to me is like, okay, there's this one clasp that holds the top and the bottom shell together, and I can't figure out what holds the two sides onto it because if it's not closed together, it's floppy. But as soon as you clack that in, rock solid. There's magic friction going on.
Yeah, it's some very smart engineering, and it's again one of those times where I wish that some of those Bandai designers who are stuck on the kids' lines would get to be given just a little bit more freedom to operate.
Right. So I also have Gorilla on the way along, and I need to find Patera. Great timing to play catch up.
Exactly. The end of the series coming up and being at an all-time high of popularity.
Yeah. Continuing my little love affair of this toy line, I picked up Joint Gatai Deca Ranger Robo.
Oh dear.
He actually comes out, well, considering the individual vehicles don't have much transformation to them to form the arms and legs, that means the bulk of the paint apps that always go to make the robot mode look good, make them look good too.
That's good.
So he really does come out the best of the series so far, of the ones I have. And it's Deca Ranger Robo. That was my first Sentai.
Are you pre-ordering the Super Robot Chogokin of it?
I'm not totally sure yet. I've got the Shinkano, and I was happy with that one.
I think you should get it. I think you should get it.
You are not helping.
I think you should get it.
This is not helpful.
I know. I think you should get it.
You're the reason I'm broke.
Yep.
Reason a lot of people are broke.
Yo, Aaron, by the way, those Gojujin mini-plaws are on the way in the mail. This direction. I'll tell you when they get here.
I hope so.
I need to find someone with an extra set of those.
Gojujin.
There's four per box. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was... Okay, to wrap it up on my end. Someone... And he knows who he is. Is listening through old podcasts as we record, and informed me that about a year ago, you know, I stated things like, "I'm not going to go to great lengths for Gaia Memories."
Oh, I forgot that you said that. That's kind of funny.
I'm not going to pay nearly as much as you do. All that being said,
cream.
I have complete selection too.
Yeah, I got that as well. It's not here though, because I got it, and then I said, "Hey, I don't want to actually have to put that in my luggage, and I'm not home, and that's a big enough box where I'd rather be there to pick it up."
Right.
So I'll pay for it now, and can you send it in September? So that's gonna be something I'll have in a couple weeks.
I think at this point it's like being pot committed in poker, that I've already put so much into this toy line, I need to see it all the way through.
How did they not put Commander and Eyes in that set?
I know!
And
you got a redundant Skull and Axel, but no Commander and Eyes.
I mean, I know why they did those two, because those are basically like the, hey, we did this almost in Capsule, so we're just going to show you how badass Capsules can be. But, man, like, now I'm sitting there going, like, I know you guys are going to release Commander and Eyes. I'm sure you'll figure out a way to make it cost me at least $50.
It's Commander, Eyes, and Unicorn. All three from the movie that haven't gotten made.
I know, and I was like, oh, maybe they didn't see the movies yet. Booster's right in there. I'm like, oh, so you guys are just trolling now. All right, whatever. Because it's those, right? Those three that are going to elude us forever. And then and then now that you've got everything, and now that you – because you even went so far as to get Shippu and Kiri Fuda.
Yeah.
So now you got to get the Gamba Ride memory. You're stuck.
I know. I know. It's fateful at this point. I'm going to contact every middleman I can find. Please, dear God, can you get this any cheaper than this freaking one on eBay?
No.
Probably not. But
probably they see not. Who it is. Yeah, we could. Oh, that's the last one he needs? No.
And to all our listeners who have been with us this whole time saying, I wish they'd stop talking about those memory sticks, when he gets that Gamba Ride Orange $550 million stick, he will be done forever.
Yeah. There's nothing else. That is literally the last one I could possibly go for. Like, the set does... I will say this. The set does a lot of things right, even though it left out two.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things it does right. I'm glad all the memories are molded in individual colors.
And that sheet of stickers to make them glittery, is that... Are those stickers applied to them already, or did you have to put them onto the T2s?
No, it comes optional.
Okay.
Which I prefer looking without, so... I still have a big sticker sheet, just no nothing.
Mm.
But, like, even like, okay, like, Zone and Fang use the exact same white plastic color. Zone, however, does get glitter in there. So even very little details, they have separated all of them.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Not like the DuPont ones, where they kind of cheaped out and molded all of them in white.
Yeah, and then it was just like, all right, spray, spray, spray. And
right, right. So it visually, it's a lot more dynamic. I'm glad they all have three sound effects rather than two. I really wish the command for holding down the button was the transformation noise.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I always forget exactly how the physical side of the deluxe toys work. I wonder if that was done so that it would work better in a maximum drive slot or something. I don't know.
Well, not really, because maximum drive slot, you just hit.
Ah.
You know, it would have made more sense just to press that button, you know, and get that noise.
All right, because when you put them in a double driver, they'll start maximum driving instead of
instead of the DuPont noise.
Ah.
Which they did because they didn't mold in the buttons on the bottom. So the idea is you hit the button and then you hit the button again when you put it, you know, on your arm, or if you got Luna on your head or whatever.
Yeah, oh, I'm gonna stick Luna right up my head.
But I'm glad I'll say this honestly: the one that sold me, bomb.
That was a nice one to include.
That made me happy. There are faults with the set, but I'm glad to have it.
Yeah, and it's well done. I mean, if there was one thing I wish they could have done that I know is unreasonable, it's I wish that they had packed it in a metal suitcase and then put the other ones into their own box. But you know, I can only ask for so much.
Yeah.
Once I get mine, in my case, I think unless I get find a good deal on them, I think that those are going to be the final Gaia memories I get. So that for our listeners, also that will be the end of the saga for me.
There's one you got to do when you get Axel Booster.
Mm-hmm.
There's this weird thing on mine, and it's not something that would probably not pick up on a video, so it's hard to actually determine this. Like, I've had Gaia memories where they're too quiet or too loud, or they speak too fast or too slow because of different soldering problems.
Yeah.
This is the first time where I've had a speaker that was too hot.
Oh, like it heats up?
No, there's a crackle to it.
Oh, what am I saying? It inflames when you push the button? That's crazy.
It catches fire.
So you mean like it's like the waveform is too heavy.
Yeah.
It's hitting the ceiling.
There's a crackle on the top of the A on Axel will.
That really makes me wonder if, I mean, because that's the only post double movie one that's in there. It really makes me wonder if it was a rush job and they couldn't get a proper sample to put on the chip. I'm curious. Oh well.
Oh well.
Three Axel memories. I never got the DX Axel one, so I guess that
three Axel memories.
I guess it's a big present to me because I have almost no Axel memories.
I'm glad. It makes me glad I cannibalized one for a custom memory, because I wouldn't want to have five hanging around right now.
Yo, I really like Kamen Rider Axel. He's my favorite. Anyway, that's a great place to end on, because that's going to be back in a few weeks. It's a great place to end our saga of Kamen Rider roleplay toys for a while, too, because the metals have all gotten easier to find. I'm sure that the snake metals, the brown ones with the switch, will become easy to find after the movie wave passes by.
Yeah, they better.
Rider switches are totally not enticing me or Omegas, as far as I know. So
not in the least. And
you don't
need
little inkjet cartridges.
Yeah, I think listeners can count their blessings that for a little while we're probably done with those roleplay toys.
I'll tell you. You've got one more round to go through next time I'm on, but after that, I'm probably going to slow down considerably.
Yeah. So for all you Bugman haters out there, all you heathens and savages, don't worry. The train is slowing down on the worst of it. We'll just be getting our Fig Arts Bugmans. You know, we'll have our high-class Bugmans. But damn, the Rider Switch is rude. I watched a video of that first one. I was like, oh man, what's it gonna do? It's like, click. I was like, oh, awesome. All right. That's okay.
I can see how that would be. I could see how, like, having little four-act sound, flicking switches in the belt would be fun, but that's like that should have been the next Gaia memory.
Yeah, and what's really weird, and I don't mean to continue this tangent because we're running really long, but what's really weird about it is the Gaia memories felt like the refinement of the soul engines from Goanger.
Well, this, from my knowledge, that's what they were. That's what they wanted to do with the gimmick originally, and they only perfected it then.
What these Forze switches look like is it looks like the thing that was refined into Ranger Keys, except that it's coming out after Ranger Keys.
Right.
So I'm like, it feels backwards. And it's kind of a bummer. And I'm not coming down on Forze because I'm going to watch that show. I'm going to watch the hell out of that show because I love the team working on it. Just the toy side of it is not jiving with me all that well yet. In the context of Rider toys always look awful to most Rider fans until they see the show, and then suddenly they look amazing.
For all the Rider haters, I'll give you a little heads up. The new one's being written by the same one as who wrote Gurren Lagann.
It's Gurren Lagann's writer. It's Koichi Sakamoto directing. I believe Keita Amemiya doing monster designs as well? I forgot if they went for a full trifecta on me.
I don't recall. Monster designs were good, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like a good show. But that's also going wildly off topic. I figure it's okay to do that because we're at the end of a 3-hour show. So I'm like, whatever. Yeah. If you're still listening.
You've even lost me here. I'm messing with Prime as well. The clanking and clunking guys.
It's like, if you're still listening now, then, you know, you've listened through all the Transformers stuff, and I'm happy you stuck with it that far. But we're going to take off for this week. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Omegas. Thank you, listeners, for listening through another episode of WTF and TFW. We'll be back next week with, hopefully, someone that you may not have heard co-hosting on this podcast before. But I'm not going to say anything else, just in case things don't work out again. And I'll see you in your dreams, ladies and gentlemen, with my razor-tipped glove. Because you're all such pretty, pretty people. And I want to cut off your faces and keep them on my belt.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.